Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. The price of wheat has gone up by 68% this year. Gas prices have just shattered their all-time record high. There's reports coming out of California that gas is over $7 a gallon. So, ouch. A lot of people, of course, are blaming Joe Biden, and there are reasons to blame him. I absolutely think so, especially with U.S. Exporting of oil, with Keystone Pipeline, with the, just recently in the past couple of weeks, Biden shut down new oil and gas leases for climate change policy. And then many of these Democrat personalities come out and say, it's not Biden's fault the gas is too high, it's Russia's fault. Okay, well, it is going to be Russia's fault a little bit too, because the U.S. is still importing oil from Russia, and now there's, they say, bipartisan support to stop buying oil from Russia. And if that's the case, and it doesn't make sense considering the war, you can't be buying oil from a country that you're condemning while funding or providing weapons to Ukrainians, effectively playing both sides. If we stop importing oil from Russia, oh, those prices are going to get really bad. So this should be interesting. We have a lot of war news just because that seems to be what's happening. The interesting thing I'm seeing about the war right now is that Russia is recruiting foreign fighters. Ukraine is recruiting foreign fighters. It kind of seems strange that they're acting like this isn't an international conflict when Latvia has voted to allow their citizens to enter the conflict on the side of Ukraine. Russia is bringing in Syrians. I'm like, okay, maybe it's still just mid-tier regional conflict, but NATO is now saying they're green lighting fighter jets to be given to the Ukrainians. So I'm kind of like, if NATO's giving them weapons and citizens of NATO countries are going in to help, you know, fight in this war, at what point do we just say NATO is engaged in the conflict? I don't know. We'll talk about all that stuff and probably a bunch of other stuff too. Joining us to discuss that is Gothix.
Hi. Hello. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Thanks for having me here. I love your castle.
Oh, appreciate it.
Pretty cool.
And who are you?
I ask myself that every day when I look in the mirror. I am a content creator, a Twitch streamer to YouTuber. I used to do gaming content, and now I just rant about things on the internet.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Yeah. Let's rant about things together.
All right.
All right. We got Seamus.
I am Seamus Coughlin of Freedom Tunes. I make animated cartoons. We upload a new cartoon every Thursday, and we're going to be uploading one tomorrow as well because we're getting real crazy. Ooh.
All right.
By the way, last Thursday's cartoon was incredible.
Thank you so much.
What's up, everybody? Ian Crossland over here, iancrossland.net.
Talk to you soon.
And I'm also here in the corner pushing buttons. I'm going to enjoy this conversation because this is a very sharp young lady, and I love her input. Let's get going.
Don't forget, head over to timcast.com, become a member to support our work directly, and we will have a members-only show coming up around 11 or so p.m. is when we publish it for all of you who are as members. And as a member, you're helping keep all of our journalists employed, and they are all eternally grateful, as am I. And don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's read this first story from The Hill. Stocks plunge as rising oil, wheat prices shake market. Stocks fell sharply Monday as the economic fallout of Russia's war in Ukraine rattled investors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell almost 800 points Monday to close the loss of 2.4%. Companies in the finance, travel, entertainment, retail, and construction industries fell sharply Monday as skyrocketing oil prices raised fears of an economic slowdown, while energy companies rallied on the prospect of higher prices. That's kind of messed up, but yeah, U.S. gas prices average hits new record high, the previous being set in 2008. So I saw some people in the chat, they were saying doomcast IRL. Are we just preaching the apocalypse?
I mean, you didn't make any of this up.
Yeah.
It's not like stories. I think it is a question of what you choose to focus on, and I think sometimes the show can get a little bit dark, but this is all true. It's valid to talk about it.
I don't think it's the apocalypse. I think it is definitely the economy crumbling. Like the Federal Reserve's fiat currency system is just coming to an end, or some sort of transmutation.
Yeah, no, yeah. I
or a great
agree.
Reset.
It's not. Yeah, I don't think it's the apocalypse either.
Well, whether or not it's a great reset is up to you, Tim.
Mm. It's good to be aware, though, right? It's good to be aware of it.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know. I kind of, you know, I feel like when you go on major news sources, I'm not just the only one talking about this. Like, it's what everyone is talking about. You know, when I look at what's happening on Twitter, when I go to like cultural websites, sure, they're talking about other stuff too, but like somehow this stuff still finds its way into the mix. Like, right. It's not just a movie. Something's happening politically that involves it. And I wonder if the issue is, because we talked about this before with Gamergate, that because you can't write video game news every single day, it's only so many stories you can write about a new video game. They inject politics into it. So it could be that's why politics has become so prominent. But I kind of feel like, I don't know, Russia invaded a country and there's like war happening. So,
well, I think it's possible that maybe we were just talking about this before everyone else was. I think that we've been talking about this probably longer than a lot of these other people. When we started to see the news articles come out that were kind of in agreement with what we were saying, we were kind of like, oh, look at this. This is really happening. Other people really think this. So this is great to be aware of. And I feel like it's part of keeping people informed. Just try to stay positive, I guess.
When I think it was Alex Jones for sure. Maybe the first time he came in with Michael Malice, it might have been the second time, and he was like, "It's Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab's the guy." And I was like, "I never heard this name before." I was right. Like, "What's that? Who's that?" And he started telling us, and he told us. And now it's to the point where like J.P. Sears releases a video 4 or 5 days ago about the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab, BlackRock, to the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. 500,000 views, and it's like mainstream now. So
James
that's
Lindsay
a good sign. Yeah, Lindsay's on it.
James Lindsay just keeps posting the same paintbrush meme of Klaus Schwab saying something stupid. Yeah. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, look, there's some billionaire saying that World War III is coming, and I guess we'll talk about that. Everybody drink, I said it.
Drink something healthy.
I'm wondering if when you look at like the prices skyrocketing, inflation, some articles are warning inflation could hit double digits, and I'm kind of like, by what metric? Because if we're going by the same calculation as the 80s, inflation's in the double digits. Mm-hmm. So it kind of feels like if you did want a great reset, a war is a great way to go about doing it.
Is it possible that the pandemic wasn't quite enough for it? Because it felt like that was a really strong step toward that. I don't know. What do you guys
think?
I think they're trying to destroy the economy intentionally. Mm-hmm. And I think inevitably I would say double digits for inflation. I could definitely see that happening. And I think that the pandemic was probably something that they were using to start it, and I think a lot of people are falling off of that bandwagon now. So now, war, yay!
But the media says you're a conspiracy theorist for saying that. Even though didn't Klaus Schwab write a book called COVID-19 and the Great Reset or something?
Yeah. These people are out in the open, and that's the thing. It's like they're so open about what their plans are, and you're still labeled a conspiracy theory for just literally repeating what they're saying.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing.
No, exactly.
Because who are they convincing? Are there like people just trapped in the matrix who believe it, I guess?
There are some people, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it. What matters is whether you're willing to go along with what they're saying. I'm not sure that they're really interested in true believers so much as they're interested in you not saying anything when you do see through the narrative. I think they would be fine if no one believed them, but everyone was too afraid to say anything.
Man, how conspiratorial should we get?
I don't know. I mean, look,
like
I mean, what is
this
your
channel?
What is it even mean? Well, it's a question, like, what does conspiracy theory even mean anymore?
Georgia Guidestones.
That's pretty.
There are certain examples. Yeah. There are certain examples of conspiracy theories which are like so completely over the line and insane sounding that you don't even really need to label conspiracy theory in order to understand that they're ridiculous. Like when people start talking about flat Earth.
Yeah.
But then when it comes to things like the lab leak hypothesis, and it turns out that it's true, it's like, well, then the term conspiracy theory didn't even fit there.
Right.
And so I find the term is almost always used either A, where it doesn't apply, or B, isn't needed.
I like the word conspiracy. Like, can we just talk about conspiracies?
Yeah, but
they happen.
Conspiracy implies a criminal plot.
Right.
Yes.
That's why it's stupid. Like, hollow earth and flat earth is not a conspiracy.
Right.
Like, there's no cabal of elites who are like, we will make sure the earth is flat.
I think their argument is it's the cabal that convinces us that it's spherical when it's not.
I see.
They call it, what do they say? That you're a globalist? That's a flat earther's called. People
globalist? How is that?
Globalist. Because they can't call you a globalist because that's a different word.
But it's gotten so twisted to the point where when I said there was no conspiracy between Donald Trump and Russia, I was a conspiracy theorist.
For like saying there was no conspiracy.
When I said that the Russian government was not controlling the executive branch, I was a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Isn't that insane? That doesn't mean anything
anymore. New York Times won a bunch of awards, didn't they?
For the Ukraine thing?
For reporting on Russiagate.
Yeah.
Claiming that, you know, Donald Trump was secretly colluding with the Russians. And they I don't think they said that explicitly, because if they did, there'd be bigger news. But they did investigations into, like, Trump's ties with, like, Russia. And they win awards. And everyone's like, oh, and they're all clapping. Like, you're so smart. And then, you know, the Mueller report comes out. And it's like, none of that happened.
You won awards, like, for doing nothing.
Yeah, well, none of them lose the awards, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
Walter Duranty didn't even lose his Pulitzer for covering up the Holodomor.
Right. You know what I said? I'm like, the response from a lot of people, because Russiagate was wrong, they were like, well, they still did good reporting, and that's why they won the awards. And I'm like, listen.
What?
If I hire a guy to mow my lawn, and I go inside, and when I come outside, he mowed my neighbor's lawn, yeah. I'm going to be like, sir, you worked really hard. You did a bang-up job, but that's not my grass.
Right.
So you expect me to pay you? Mm-hmm. Nah, it's not happening. Like, they did the work. They just did the wrong work. So I don't know what it is you want me to say, but
it's hilarious when the establishment gives itself awards. That's all I think. Anytime I see any of these ceremonies, I'm like, oh, you patented yourself on the back there. What a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, what's weird is that we used to have like a monoculture. We used to have one award, you know, we had all these award ceremonies, and everyone was just like turning the TV on and watching. Everyone turning the TV on and watching Super Bowl. Now it's like, you know, I was reading about Joe Biden's State of the Union having like the lowest ratings of any State of the Union in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but it's because people are on the internet. You know, no one's watching on TV. But more importantly, a million, like 1 point something million people watch Steven Crowder's version of the State of the Union, where he's correcting them.
Right.
And then we had like 750K VOD views on us.
Nice.
Drinking and mocking.
Drinking our way through,
So you have a lot of people who don't like Joe Biden who would rather watch us make fun of him or correct him. And so basically you have all these different pockets of different cultural spheres of influence. And then, I don't know, culture war, chaos, infighting.
Yeah. Which brings us back to the exact reason why they need to use the term conspiracy theory so much. Because information is more widely accessible and they can't hide it from you. But they can make you embarrassed to repeat any of the information that you heard. And that's what that label's for.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's just a deflection tactic.
Mm-hmm. Just don't care.
What's the history of the word?
That's exactly what it is. You have to not care. Because if what you're saying is legitimate, if what you're saying is legitimately crazy, it doesn't matter whether you get called a conspiracy theorist. Right. You sound crazy.
Georgia Guidestones.
I'm not familiar. I've heard a little bit about them. I haven't looked into them too deeply.
Well, you were going to say something.
No, I was going to say, you just made a good point. Like, I remember back in the day, I would watch, like, alien shows. And you would, conspiracy theory. Okay, yeah, cool. Like, you used your brain to conclude whether or not something is true or not, and you weren't ridiculed for it. But now you can't even come up with a theory for anything without being ridiculed.
No. This is why.
Can I respond to that really quickly? The reason is because when you're looking at ancient aliens, that's obviously ridiculous. People can look at that and dismiss it. But when you're, the only time they need to censor misinformation is when there's a chance some of it's true.
Right? Yeah.
I was going to say, how come ancient aliens on the History Channel gets to, I mean, seriously, it's some of the most racist stuff ever. Don't think about it.
Crazy.
Ancient aliens. I love you, Ancient Aliens. You're a fun show. But when you have, like, these white European professors sit down in front of a camera and say, there's no possible way South American indigenous could build structures like this.
True.
It had to be aliens.
That's so true.
I'm like,
oh, my gosh. They're like, we just can't figure it out. How do they use, like, aliens?
Well, it's like ancient Rome made concrete that could set underwater.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, of course. But those people in South America... Nah, they couldn't have figured anything out. The only logical explanation to how they built things was aliens.
I'm like,
how is that not very racist?
I got some information about conspiracy theories from Wikipedia. The term conspiracy theory is itself the subject of a conspiracy theory, which claims the term was popularized by the CIA in order to discredit conspiratorial believers, particularly critics of the Warren Commission, who was like studying the Kennedy assassination.
Luke said that.
Yeah, I heard that. Maybe that he's who I heard it from, is that the CIA seeded the ideas of conspiracy theorists being a problem when people were like trying to figure out what happened to Kennedy. And they were like, no, we just want to kind of sweep it under the rug. They're all conspiracy theorists. Ignore them. And now the term is so crazy. Like you said, unless it's breaking a law, it's not really a conspiracy.
Is it a conspiracy to believe that aliens like built the Incan temples or something?
Only if it was against Incan law.
So I think that you would argue that it was a conspiracy theory, because if you were able to determine that ancient aliens were involved here, archaeologists could determine that too, and they're covering it up. I think that's the theory. Like, they don't want to let the people with alternative theories
in,
and so that's why they call it a conspiracy
theory. That's a different conspiracy, though. right? Yeah. There's the there's the show is literally talking about, could aliens have drawn the, what are they called, the Nazca lines?
Yeah. Mm.
You know those things? Yeah. Nazca, is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah.
Where it's like from the sky, you can see these massive pictures that are what, like hundreds of feet long?
So cool.
Mm-hmm. But
so
from the ground, you can't see anything. I'm like, maybe they had hot air balloons?
Yeah. By the way, I want to make a point here because you were talking about the Warren Report. According to a Gallup poll, the majority of Americans disbelieve the official narrative on the JFK assassination to this day. Now, I don't really have a dog in this fight. I haven't looked too deeply into it. But in 1975, it was, I think 81% of people said that they thought that there were more people involved in the assassination of JFK than were stated. So it's just interesting that in that case, you have the vast majority of people disbelieving the official narrative, but you're crazy if you're with them. It's just everyone else is crazy, but the 20% of people who are saying, yes, I believe the government, they're the ones with their heads on straight. I find that a little bit interesting.
So I keep saying Georgia Guidestones because
yeah,
what it really seems to be, if you're being charitable, is that like in the 80s, a bunch of rich people built these big stones in multiple languages that can perform a series of functions, like there's like a sundial or something, mm-hmm. and like some astrological, like there's like math or something, I don't know. And then there's like rules. Like, well, like they wanted to make sure that any humans who came after us would have access to certain basic knowledge. Right. And that's why they're called the Guidestones. But one of the rules is that the population of the planet should never exceed 500 million.
That's right. I've heard of this.
So the conspiracy theory is that there are powerful global elites that want to purge, what is that, 7.6 billion people or something?
Yeah.
To get us down to 500,000. Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Now, I don't know if that's true because it seems like the Guidestones, if you're being charitable, were just like the height of the Cold War. People were scared there was going to be nuclear annihilation. So a bunch of rich people were like, let's build these big stones that do these things. And like, if we all die, then the people come after us will like find them and be like, oh, we'll do that, I guess.
The crazy thing is to say the population should never exceed 500 million. That's so freakish. Like, what do you do when you hit 499,900,000? Like, you just start pulling out the axe? Like, what the heck?
Exactly. Well, if you're an elite, I'm telling you this, you don't commit suicide, right? Other people have to die.
Right.
That's craziness.
It's crazy. I agree with you completely. It's horrific.
Who built these things?
I don't know.
I don't know exactly.
Ted Turner. I think Ted Turner was involved in it, wasn't he?
Awesome. I don't know.
Not sure.
You better back that up.
Sorry, Ted. I mean,
but we don't do misinformation on this podcast.
No, something else he was
involved in. They exist. They're a real thing. And my explanation for why they were built is I believe like the basic explanation for why they were built. But then the more conspiratorial idea is that there are people who want to adhere to its rules now to prevent any kind of, you know, mass extinction event. In which case, there are people who think they want to reduce the population of the planet. And then you get, when you get the World Economic Forum, you know, some of the individuals involved with them advocating for Western intervention in Ukraine, which many people fear could trigger a nuclear conflict or a greater conflict, you're like, these Great Reset people sure do want a war. Maybe not all of them, I don't know, but enough of them. And that's kind of scary. You know, so you're going to get a lot more people who are going to believe these kinds of conspiracies or who are going to believe there's some nefarious agenda. And then I'll put it this way. If you go to I'll start this way. There's a meme. It says, please do not feed the animals because they will become dependent.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the meme then shows that and says, what's the difference between this and social programs? Mm. If you go to a human talking about deer population, someone who knows, like who lives out in a rural area, and ask them, what happens when the deer population grows too large? They'll say, oh, it's a disaster. Disease starts spreading. They start decimating local, you know, plant populations. You get an imbalance in the ecosystem. So hunters need to go out and actually start culling the herd. Then ask somebody, what happens if there's too many people on the planet? And they'll say, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. So this idea that humans are comparable to deers here, I would reject, because as the world population has increased, overall poverty globally has decreased.
Yes.
People, but that's actually my point.
No, yeah, no, more, exactly. People are more capable of providing for themselves and finding creative solutions to scarcity than any animal is.
Well, the issue with it's not just deer, but any large population, hogs, for instance, it's not just decimating the environment, which I think humans do to a certain degree. It's also just the spread of disease. And then you also have the, was it the Rat Utopia experiment, where you end up with, what was it called?
Culture. The beautiful ones?
Yeah, but it was like, it wasn't called culture. Moral sink, is what it's called?
Behavioral sink.
Behavioral sink, yeah.
Behavioral sink is one of the things that occurs. Are you familiar with that?
Never heard of it.
So there was the Rat Utopia experiment, put a bunch of rats and or mice, like not and or, rats or mice, different experiments, into a space with tons of food and water, and they could never had to worry about food or water. And what happened was, once they reached a certain population size, they started behaving in ridiculous ways. They started fighting each other. Some only groomed themselves. They, like, just basically their behavior started to degrade to the point where they wiped themselves out. And some of the mice or rats that were in the experiment were taken out and rescued and placed in regular populations, but retained the bad behaviors that ultimately, like, destroyed the previous rat utopia. So there's two ways to look at it. If we are overpopulated, I'm saying if we are, some people think we're not. If we are, then we're going to end up with mass pollution. We're going to end up with serious disease, not necessarily poverty, but, you know, issues that will result in a collapse. If we are not overpopulated, but we are overabundance, it's like either we go the rat utopia route, where all of a sudden we have behavioral sink, we destroy ourselves morally, ethically, and functionally, and then cease to exist. Or we overpopulate, we destroy our environment, and then choke ourselves to death on our own farts. Maybe that's a very pessimistic way of looking at things.
That's a little dark.
I think, but I'm referring specifically just, I'm not saying those are true to happen. I'm just saying in reference to the fact there's a major war breaking out, that there's Great Reset people who are advocating for expanding the war. I'm just making these points. Maybe that's their view or something.
I don't think necessarily the world is overpopulated. I think the problem comes when if it is overpopulated and people also don't have a goal or something to actually do, which is why whenever I see this push for like government dependency and people just needing the government to protect them and save them and do everything for them, that's when I get worried, because I'm like, okay, you're not actually doing anything to keep yourself, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I think you make a really good point, which I'll add on to. I don't think we're in the rat utopia yet. The rat utopia will happen the moment all of us agree the government should do everything for us. Because then you end up with the rats sitting around where the food and water was given to them.
Right.
So long as the rest of us are striving and have purpose and drive, we're resistant to that behavioral sink.
Also the ability to spread out, because the rat utopia experiment was all about being in an enclosed space. So if we can I think it's a big deal.
Yes, getting off Earth. But in the Rat Utopia, when there was space, they would still all go only in one side and densely pack in
That's
one
like
small
cities.
Space.
That's like the idea of
exactly.
cities.
Exactly. Yeah. We could spread out, but we don't, because everyone wants to be by everyone else.
I was going to say, I think my conclusion this far, based on all the chaos we've seen, is that I don't think that people can live properly in cities. That's been my conclusion. I'm like, I don't think that's healthy for people. And maybe that's based on our talk about the rat utopia experiments, but people aren't meant to live that close together.
Yeah, I went to New York once. It was terrible.
I want to add a caveat. I think I hear what you're saying, but I would argue that people are not meant to live that close to each other without accountability. So historically, people lived in tribes where in many cases you were really right on top of one another.
Right.
But people knew your face and they knew your name. So right. If you got out of line, that was going to be corrected very quickly. In cities, you're very close to other people, but there's this strange anonymity there.
I like to think of it this way. When it's like the various states of matter. When you live out in a rural area, you are in like a gaseous community. That means you as an individual can bounce around and do crazy stuff, freely moving around. As you move into more suburban areas, the amount you can move is less, so you're acting more like a liquid. Mm-hmm. And then when you live in cities, you're all stacked on top of each other, hard compressed, mm-hmm. and you're stuck exactly where you are. So what I mean by this is, we have a sphere of freedom. And the closer you get to someone else, the more you're compressing that sphere. So for example, in New York, they pass crazy laws like you can't own guns, you can't have ammo, and you can't play drums in your house, for instance. Why? Because the noise would bother somebody and they would fight, and then they're like, no, you can't play loud music. Out here in the middle of nowhere, you can shoot guns.
Yeah.
Like, not only can you have the guns, you can shoot them and be very, very noisy, and nobody cares because you have more space.
That could also explain why formation psychosis tends to appear with what you consider the liberal environment in the cities, because mm-hmm. when you're so densely packed, information passes through you atomically in a solid, you can fire current through it much faster than through a gas because it's just got something to move, or it's not getting bounced off of.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Basically, if you've got 10 people all smashed next to each other, and then you tap one on the shoulder and say, carrots are healthy, the information travels rapidly down the line because everyone conveys it to the other person.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, we don't even need to use the physics analogy. If you live in a rural area and someone comes knocks on your door and says, carrots are good for you, you have to get in your car and go drive to your neighbor's house and let them know. And that's very difficult relative to yelling out the window, hey, Jim, what? Carrots are good for you. All right. That's it, right?
No, it's true. I mean, ideas travel and evolve more quickly in a more densely populated environment, for better or for worse, because that's true for good ideas.
I think for worse.
For bad ideas, yeah. I think generally for worse, because even if you start with a good idea, it can be warped and twisted into something else. And to be fair, I think you could argue that a bad idea could sort of be twisted into something better, but
it's for worse because bad ideas travel really, really fast and need to be checked. And when something's traveling slowly, you have an opportunity for the truth to shut it down and then catch it as it's spreading. When you're in a city, you have a bad idea, it just ripples right through, travels halfway around the world before the truth can strap on its boots.
Mm-hmm. Same in crowds. If someone panics in a crowd, the entire crowd starts to move with that panic. That's similar to being in a city.
And for war. I just watched The Sum of All Fears. You guys ever see that movie, The Sum of All Fears?
No.
Oh, man, you guys gotta see it. It's good.
When's it from?
Ben Affleck, I don't know, 2004 or something. Ben Affleck, Morgan Freeman, some other people. And basically what happens is, there's like some organization is trying to trigger nuclear war between Russia and the U.S. And so a bomb goes off in Baltimore, and the U.S. is like, it had to have been Russia. Russia's like, it wasn't us, but the U.S. doesn't believe us. And then so the Russian president is like, keep our defenses on high alert. Then the president of the U.S. goes, an advisor says, Mr. President, Russia's just put all their defenses on high alert. And he's like, what? And he's like, get our fleets ready. Because he sees them reacting, and then they both start escalating to the point. But then I guess, something happens. I don't want to spoil the movie. Well, I guess it's from 2004, so I'm going to spoil it anyway.
No, hold on. Let me take my headphones off.
So basically, Ben Affleck intervenes and gets a message sent to the Russian president saying, you're being played by terrorists. Mm. I know you didn't fire that. You didn't detonate that nuke in Baltimore. Stand down. It's the only way. And then Russia agrees and stands down all weapons. And then the U.S. says, stand down. But they were doing a countdown for a missile strike or whatever. Jeez. Basically, my point is, when one side gets scared and the information is rapid, then it's just escalation. So there was a story I heard once where like two guys got into a minor fender bender, but one guy was like road raging and really angry. And when he gets out, they're both armed, and the guy's all super angry, and he's like, you hit me, you rear-ended me. And the guy who rear-ended him, was an accident, sees that he's got a gun, so he puts his hand on his hip and says, back up, buddy. The other guy sees him reaching for his gun, so he grabs his gun. Mm. The other guy sees him grab his gun, he pulls his gun, and then the other guy pulls his gun, and then someone gets shot.
Yep.
Because they both, were in this heated moment. They're like, no, don't do it, stop, no, and then they both pull their weapons out. So things like that can happen, Yeah. I hope that's not where we're going with this Russia stuff, but the issue, I suppose, is that no one's going to back down. No one will. Like, why would anyone back down? I think maybe the West backs down in this one because we're the morally weaker, maybe not morally weaker is the right word. We're the ideologically weaker faction here.
Well, didn't Russia offer terms to Ukraine today?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Ukraine was like, nope.
Really?
Yeah, they said Eastern region, the Donbass region, and Crimea are now Russia.
Can't join NATO, right?
You can't join NATO or any bloc, like the EU or anything like that.
It kind of sounds like Ukraine is just gunning for EU/NATO membership at this point. It seems like they're using this conflict to push towards being joined with those groups. I don't know. That's just my observation. I'm not the foreign policy expert. But they are being incredibly stubborn. I don't know.
Here's what we'll do.
Oh.
Instead of...
Oh, this next article. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Instead of saying... World War III is coming. We'll do this. Yahoo.com says, American Express follows Visa and MasterCard in exiting Russia.
Wow.
So now Amex, Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal are all shutting down services in Russia. In response, Russia is announcing they're going to be partnering with Chinese Union Bank for the Mir card network, which does operate in many countries. So we're now seeing a fracture between two major economic blocks, and no war will come of this. No hyperpolarization, no conflict. Everyone's going to come together and the competition will be healthy for everybody. Russia will eventually come and shake hands with the West and say we're all richer and better off for it. And that's what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, fam.
Yeah, I don't think so. No.
But everybody gets mad when I say this stuff is escalating into war.
Well, I
in denial?
I don't know. I could have told you that having these big credit card companies exiting Russia is going to push Russia toward China. Why wouldn't it? Like, China is very advanced.
Well, but hold on. But, like, is it really going to escalate the conflict between...
I don't know if it will, but it will ostracize them from the rest of the West, you know?
I think the issue is if there's no tie between the Dragon Bear, the BRICS economic bloc,
right,
and the Western economic blocs, the chance for conflict is greater because now there's no cooperation at all. Like, the cooperation helps. It's like, listen, let's not go to war, man. Like, I got a big company. I'm buying that new super yacht. Chill out, man. Russia goes to war. They invade. And then it's like, what do you do now? Now they start seizing super yachts. All these companies are shutting down in Russia. And I think it may be, in all seriousness, I think a lot of companies expect the United States to be involved in a war with Russia. And that's why this is happening.
I think you might be right, because before the show, I was like, I was a little bit wound up about this earlier. I was like, how is it that these companies can make this unilateral action against Russia? It's as if they're independent countries, treating Russia as a foreign enemy. But Tim was telling me that it's against the law to do business with these kinds of enemies.
Well, it's complicated, but yeah. Treason is when you provide support
material aid, yeah,
to an enemy of the United States. So right. Specifically, if the United States was at war with Russia, and you then traded weapons to Russia, you'd be committing treason.
Unless you're a multinational corporation, then you have no allegiance.
Technically, that may be true, but if you're operating in the U.S., I think the U.S. is going to be, like, particularly brutal.
Yeah.
Like, come on, like, let's be real. If someone in the U.S. was actively selling materials to the Taliban, the U.S. would have before.
Like, sure, if Henry we gave Ford. Them a bunch of weapons or something?
No, that was Obama who did that. Yeah, well, I don't know about the Taliban, but yeah. ISIS, for sure.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Historically,
when the government does it, they get away with it.
Henry Ford sold vehicles to the Nazis for years.
Before the war?
Yeah, leading up to
right.
the war.
And then stopped.
Yeah, I don't know the actual when he stopped, but I would imagine.
See, that's...
I would imagine, yeah, during the war.
That's the thing I'm looking at. I'm like, why are all these companies, are they really virtue signaling, or are they concerned that if war breaks out, it will be difficult for them to immediately sever ties and they don't want to be on the hook in any way. I don't think, like, right now if the U.S. is like, we hereby declare war, well, it's Joe Biden. So he'd be like, come on, man, we're declaring war on Russia.
Come on.
I don't, well, actually, he can't do it.
No, Congress
has Congress,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, I don't know, he might, and then they might be like, no, Joe, stop, you can't do that. I don't think they're going to start arresting executives from these big companies because they're operating in Russia. They would be like, you have 1 week to cease all operations. But it is disconcerting because one could certainly lead to the other. And I'm wondering if these companies cutting off from Russia, they're washing their hands of this economic, you know, I'm not going to pretend like Russia is the biggest part of the economy of the world or anything, but they're certainly cutting themselves off from a major source of revenue.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if they're worried that war, well, maybe it's simple. Maybe I don't got to overthink it. Maybe they just fear war might break out between us and them, and
better
so better safe than sorry.
It's very confusing to me because, it looks like our country is weakened. So if we were to potentially go to war with Russia, it looks like we wouldn't lose just based on, like, how culture has been kind of going in a certain direction for, like, the last couple of years. We don't look very strong. So
but you're saying we would or wouldn't lose?
Like, I think we would. Well, it looks like we would based on how it appears that way.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I have some feelings that the American military has some nasty weaponry prepared.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I hope you're right.
Is this a poker game? Like, they're making us look weak?
Yeah.
It's 4D chess.
Sun Tzu.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, when you are strong, you make your opponent look weak. Right. But I think the reason the U.S. could lose, I don't know if I agree with you that they would, but could, because we're so divided. With gas prices reaching record highs. Yo, we were in central PA this weekend. Diesel was like $5.50
mm-hmm.
and gas was like $4.50.
Yep.
crazy. So when you see that, we're already in this hyper-polarized country where everyone's still constantly fighting. You've got the establishment pushing their narrative, saying Trumpers are evil and all this stuff. One of the things that precipitates civil war is rising cost of food.
Mm.
Wheat is up 68%. That freaked me out. Mm-hmm. There's this viral tweet where someone was like, this is not oil or a meme stock. This is wheat. And it's like going straight and then spikes, which suggests the demand, the expectation is supply will not meet demand. So buy it, you know, they're buying it now, expecting the price to skyrocket, causing the price to skyrocket. That's scary because food's already insanely expensive.
Yep.
Now get this, with Russia and the U.S. at odds and, you know, look, Visa and MasterCard. So what happens when we stop importing fertilizer from Russia, which we are a major importer of? I'm sorry. Did I say export? What happens when we stop importing fertilizer from Russia?
Right.
Food's gone.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, you know, COVID may have been, in terms of food shortages, a hiccup compared to what we see now. Food prices through the roof, food shortages and gas prices, and you've got a recipe for disaster. People are going to start screaming for Donald Trump because they're going to say, Trump did not get us into any new wars, gas prices were low, food was abundant, unemployment was low. I'd rather have the president who says no war and fix America than Joe Biden and his international whatever.
I feel like Trump sailed us into the iceberg and then Biden got on board and took control.
How did Trump sail?
He was just printing. Yeah. They were just, the economy was like the best it's ever been. We just keep the debt just keeps going up and up and up and up. And he's didn't repeal the Federal Reserve. He had John Bolton on board. His sister got him to bomb Syria. Like it just status quo. His daughter. Yeah. Status quo.
You could say that Obama did that. And Trump, yeah,
this whole time, none of them Trump changed had, course. They all had a chance, that's and none not of them true, have though. Done it. Well, Trump, the Federal Reserve is sinking us.
Listen. If you've ever been on a cruise ship,
no,
those things are so impossible to move.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire? Huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So let's say you're on this cruise ship that's been sailing this way for 60 years and you get 4 years to try and turn it around and you make some turns and all of a sudden the economy is doing better. You get your troops out of Afghanistan. Trump did some stuff.
Also, if he tries to turn the ship, they got guns and they're like, don't turn the ship, sir.
Yep.
Right. That I agree with.
Yeah.
So I do feel like Trump did what he could. I do feel like Trump in many ways is kind of a bad dude. I think he's a generous guy. You hear the stories about how he's giving his staff all this money. I've heard stories directly from people who work at his hotel. Like he just gives them $100 bills.
Yeah.
So there's good things. There's bad things about him. I think he's kind of an arrogant dude, but I think he did some good things that he genuinely wanted to, you know, help this country. The problem is Joe Biden gets right back in and course corrects. Huh. And then we go sailing, you know, head first into Ukraine. How is it? This is amazing. The Clinton Global Initiative is coming back. Have you heard this?
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
No.
5-year hiatus. Okay. What? Under Donald Trump. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a bad thing? I'm looking at you guys and not looks sure. Like a bad
it's,
thing.
It's not that.
Clinton's, come on.
It's not that in my opinion, we can talk about the Global Initiative or whatever their operation is. It's about that when Hillary Clinton loses,
yeah.
It goes defunct and then Donald Trump comes in. Joe Biden comes back in, and now they're kicking everything back up. It's that when Donald Trump gets elected, no war in Ukraine. We had the Eastern Separatists. We had the 2014 regime change in Ukraine. We then had Eastern Separatist conflict since then. But Vladimir Putin did not invade Ukraine during Trump's presidency. What the establishment says, the left Democrat types, is that, oh, because Trump was deferential to Putin and giving him what he wants. And I'm like, that's kind of an extreme way of saying Donald Trump avoided a war in Europe. which if we're trying to avoid World War III, then I don't necessarily see anything wrong with what Trump was doing if it prevented war. You know what? I'll put it this way. When they say that, I'm like, so you're saying that everything we're seeing now in Ukraine could have been prevented? That there was something that you thought was worth all of this death and destruction? That's kind of crazy to me. Because under Trump, we didn't have that. But as soon as Biden comes in, all of a sudden, Putin's like, it's time to go. I think the issue is the Democratic agenda, clearly at odds with Russia, clearly trying to pressure, use NATO influence to pressure Russia and put them in a continually weaker position, antagonizing Putin, which is bad because he's got nuclear weapons. Donald Trump wasn't doing that. Donald Trump often said, oh, he's a powerful guy, man. You know, you got to watch out, because he understood Russia was. But still, you know, avoiding war, you know, a good thing. Now we're at the point where Vladimir Putin not only sees the return of the Democrat agenda, but an extremely weak president.
Well, it's funny how the playbook has flipped here, because I remember in the early 2000s, it was the Democrats who were constantly being accused of being weak on terrorism whenever they tried to take any measure that would prevent warfare. And now, because Trump got through 4 years without starting a new war, and because we didn't end up having tensions escalate with Russia, we're told it's because he was weak by the same people who were accused of weakness, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. It's kind of crazy to think that the view, who was it? Was it David Frum? I don't want to accuse the wrong person of saying this. But to be like, Donald Trump was appeasing Putin. That's why he didn't invade. And I'm like,
didn't he try to nuke him?
Donald Trump prevented a war with Russia?
Yeah.
That's all I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's kind of a good thing.
Well, and we were talking about this the other day. I'm not sure if this is just a Trump quote that we haven't verified, but didn't he say that he threatened Putin? He said, if you invade Ukraine, we will bomb Moscow.
He went up to him.
Yeah.
The original story was that he said to Putin, if you take Ukraine, I'll hit Moscow. But then Trump himself, I guess, came out. You fact check me on this one, because I saw a story. And he was like, I told Putin I'd nuke Moscow. Jeez. Dude, that's not good. I don't like hearing those stories. Like,
I mean, I hear you, but that's definitely not appeasement.
For sure.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I looked up if Ted Turner was involved with the Georgia Guidestones. There's no evidence. It's completely anonymous who did those things. But I don't know why his name's wrapped around. You know, talking about this democratic problem that we have, or this liberal economic order-ish problem, I looked up American Express and who owns it. Let's do some math. So Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street own about 17% of American Express. But Berkshire Hathaway owns 20% of American Express. Okay. Who owns Berkshire Hathaway? Oh, 20% of Berkshire Hathaway is owned by Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street.
Huh.
So they own companies that own companies that they also own.
So that's not sketchy.
No, that's that seems perfectly
it's totally normal.
It's beyond American democracy. It's beyond liberal and conservative at this point. It's an economic overthrow. It's they've been doing it so subtly, but it's so obvious now.
Yeah.
I just don't know who they are. The CEOs of these companies, maybe.
Look them up.
It goes beyond. It's beyond the front man.
You need to do a deep dive, Ian.
Where's the money at? What's up with the Panama Papers?
Oh, there you go.
Let's blow them open.
Yeah, let's go.
Wasn't there like a second release?
Yeah, I heard something just came out recently about it.
Recently? Wasn't the journalist killed?
Yeah.
Who was investigating
it's like the most dangerous rabbit hole on earth.
You guys remember when that one dude who had that island with little girls on it died in his prison cell?
I remember that.
And then the guy who was working with him, like, also died in his prison cell.
I remember.
And then the lady who worked with him got convicted of trafficking minors, but, like, to who? We don't know.
To no one.
Yeah. We can prove that you were doing this.
And then
Hold on. Yeah. Proving that they were doing it means you know that there was an exchange between two parties. So who's that party involved? Shh. Okay, if you're convicting this woman, Maxwell, that means you know that other people were involved. Shh.
Uh-huh.
You know what, man? Conspiracy.
It's theories. Consistently, I think, of Danton from the French Revolution, who was eventually executed by his partner Robespierre. And as he was being executed up in the court, he said, better to have been a poor farmer than to meddle in the politics of man.
Mm.
And I think this now, as we're doing this show, if I start naming names and really going deep on the Panama Papers and seeing, that's like putting a target on my face.
Oh, yeah.
One day we wake up and like Ian's just not here.
I don't want to do that.
Right.
But like if I don't address this stuff, how do you fix Earth and help humans? You just got to let them like fry themselves and then regrow from the ashes. I don't want to do that.
It's what they think they're doing. one day we all come back on the show and there's like a guy who looks like Ian, but it's not Ian.
It's not actually Ian.
And he's like, hello, somebody. Friends. I am Ian Crossland. And we're like,
I
that's
am
not
Ian.
Who is this guy?
I'm not a Fed.
I do not work with the World Economic Forum.
That's right.
I think maybe culture and business, you know, is the way to try and fix Earth. Like Elon's building satellite internet. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Culture. You make people laugh with movies. That's a good start.
Didn't they actually reach out to his internet service? They did.
Yeah, they actually did that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of stuff.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they wanted Starlink to block Russia, and he was like, nah.
He said, I'm a First Amendment absolutist. Yeah. Sorry.
Good. That wasn't the only thing they did. They also asked Elon Musk to shut down Tesla vehicles in Russia. And he's like, no, absolutely not. And I'm like, if this was any other CEO, you have no guarantee that.
First of all, isn't that a core reason why I don't want to get an electric car?
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm out on that one for sure. That was crazy though. I was like, it's just some social justice warriors on Twitter. So it's like a serious, but he engages so much on Twitter.
We should read this story because this is crazy. Look at this. Elon Musk mum on Twitterverse pleas to deactivate Teslas in Russia.
What?
Who in their right mind? Look at this. CEO Elon Musk has been mum on requests from Twitter users to shut down Teslas in Russia. This as he provides free internet access to Ukraine and free charging for all electric cars in nearby countries. Here's an idea. Shut down all Tesla cars in Russia with a note. Hi, guys. You'll get your cars back when you stop fighting Ukraine, one user tweeted.
What?
Another said, time to shut down Russian Teslas with a kill switch. I know you can do it. So far, Musk hasn't responded. Now, the first thing I want to say is, well, they do mention, Elon Musk says, in reference to censorship, he's been told by some governments to block Russian news sources. We will not do so unless at gunpoint. Sorry to be a free speech absolutist. Hmm. Bravo, good sir.
Yeah.
I also want to point out, look, some Twitter users tweeting at Elon Musk does not a story make.
Exactly.
But the sentiment among these pro-war people is kind of nightmarish. These are torch-wielding, pitchfork-wielding people who are like screaming, burn the witch. And they do it for everything. Like the video I like to bring up where the guy's chasing the woman around the store because she's not wearing a mask. And he's like, is anybody else mad that we all have to wear masks and she doesn't? Like, these people are the kind of people who just want to grab a, they're like waiting outside saying, ooh, let me get a pitchfork. I want to chase people and scream. The idea that we are not going to war, resulting in them just saying escalate the pressure and the tension and the pain, is a scary thought. Perhaps what we're dealing with in this great culture war or cold civil war is a kind of yin yang. And we are the people who are kind of like, we should reduce suffering as much as possible. And they're the kind of people who are like, we should increase as much as possible.
Yeah, I actually tweeted. I was like, what is going to happen when people can't afford to drive to work? And I had people responding to me saying, they deserve to suffer. You know, we should raise the price of gas, or like the price of gas is much, much higher in the UK. That's fine. They should raise it higher. People need to buy electric vehicles. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're just raising net suffering in the world. For what purpose?
It's because they don't have a point of reference. It doesn't actually affect their life.
Exactly.
So they're not going to care.
Right.
And it's crazy because I always used to talk about cancel culture and why cancel culture will ultimately lead to stuff like this. And people don't get it. It's literally just wanting to incite more pain. But what is that actually going to do?
Right.
Make things worse.
Right.
Yeah, but they don't know that.
Or they do.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do, yeah.
It reminds me of a kid who's torturing ants.
They just revel. Like that,
yeah.
They're just reveling in the suffering of others. It's really weird, man.
That is psychopathic, to revel in the suffering of others. And to think that other people deserve to suffer for not following your particular ideology is probably as close to evil as anything that I can come up with.
I'll give you guys something to ponder. So I was thinking about this several years ago. I think when I was in, I might have been in Ukraine or something. I might have been in Ukraine. Yes, it was like 2013, 2014. And like why people are protesting. And I thought about how they say like, well, the economy is really bad. And, you know, we work for a month and the average income is like $400 a month or something. And they were like, if we join the EU, the economy will be better and everyone will have, you know, better access to things. And then I was like, what would happen if the cost of water was greater than the cost of labor?
Mm.
If that ever happened, you will get total revolution instantly. Total revolution. So we pay our water bills when you live in a city, right? So Detroit, this is what kind of got me thinking about it. It was the Detroit and the Flint water stuff. It's the most expensive in the nation. I don't know if it still is, but it was at the time. And the reason was, there's an activist I know who's based in Detroit who was working on fixing the pipes when all this was going down. And he said that it used to be cheap to get water to your house. But the more people leave Michigan, then the more the cost of the water system is spread out among the remaining population.
Interesting.
So if you have 1 million people and it costs $1 million a month, that's a $1 per month. If 500,000 leave, your costs just doubled to $2 a month. If, you know, another, you know, 250,000 leave, now it's $4 a month. It's actually substantially more than that. But because people were fleeing Michigan, the cost of water was going up and up and up to the point where I guess what happened was Flint switched off of Detroit water into like Flint River water, which was nasty and then caused corrosion or something. But I digress. The point is, I started thinking about this and I'm like, water costs money to get to you. Food costs money. If high food prices result in civil war because people can't work enough to eat, then what happens if they can't work enough to drink any water? Yep. It'll be worse than a revolution because people will be trying to just steal water. Like water is the most valuable thing on the planet. For, you know, for people.
Well, it becomes such a double bind when you can't afford the gas that it costs to get to work. Like today, I commute 20 miles each way. And at first I was worried because Biden was talking about putting a tax per mile, but now I'm just concerned about the price of gas and how it's going to affect everything long term. It's only going to get higher. And oh, over here it's going to hit $4 soon. It was $3.50 earlier, this week. And I was like, thank God that I make ends meet, but normal people who are just scraping by already, unsustainable. What do? You can't even earn the money to buy the food.
You know what the craziest thing you could do right now is shut off electric vehicles. This was the stupidest thing these people could have tweeted. Because right now, the refuge is in electric vehicles. You're concerned about high gas prices. They come out and they say, we'll buy electric. If Elon Musk has the ability to snap his fingers and turn my car off, and he does... That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I suppose, though, with a lot of modern vehicles, they could do that to any car if it's gas-powered.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to buy a bunch of emergency food. I'm going to then buy a car from, like, early 1960s with no computer components in it or anything like that. An old Mustang or something.
Oh, yeah.
And just get ready for that solar flare or whatever.
We got to grow food, I think.
We are
big time indoor food. I think indoor food growing is the future and should be localized.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every human should have. We're working with this company called Eden Grow Systems right now, and they've got this NASA technology where you can grow like zucchini and strawberries inside. You get four of these standing things, can support one human indefinitely.
So we're going to get a 200-gallon aquarium and we're going to put bantam chickens in it. They're like little tiny ones, and then we'll have miniature eggs every day. I'm just kidding.
I'm getting excited.
Good. No, we are actually getting a big aquarium for raising babies in because we have 50.
Like actual babies?
Not human babies.
Oh, okay.
No, chicken babies.
Because we have 54 eggs currently incubating.
You know that.
They just keep making more of them, and you know, we decided to turn more into chickens and just let them, you know, do their chicken thing.
The cost of gas going up is causing the cost of food to go up because it costs more to transport the food.
The diesel. I'm wondering if there's a way we can make a kind of fuel for a vehicle out of egg.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we can take all the eggs we don't need. I bet we could because it ferments
but we
want to
eat
sulfur.
Eggs. You know what I mean? You want to try to use something that has no other real application.
Yeah.
Like grass. Oh, we should look into the water car. Stanley Meyer's water car. He had an engine. 1996, he patented this engine that could take him, he said, in 22 hours, 22 gallons of water he could get from L.A. to New York. And then they wanted to buy his patent. They kept offering all this money. They offered him $1 billion. He refused. He had a lunch meeting one day with a couple of investors. And in the middle of the lunch meeting, they poured him some cranberry juice. He runs out grabbing his throat. And his brother comes out and he's like, they poisoned me. And he died.
I don't believe that story.
Look this guy up. Stanley Meyer. It is freakish.
Who told that story?
It's on the internet. There's video of him pouring water into the gas tank and being like showing. He goes down the river and he gets water out of the river. Pours it into his tank and turns his motorcycle on.
Yeah, but this could. So I don't know much about this. Is this the electrolysis vehicle? Because that's true. It's just the issue is it takes more energy to perform the electrolysis to get the fuel out of the.
What I was reading said that he was getting a net positive energy because the water was the additive energy.
No, so you need an electrical current to separate the baser elements of the water to utilize the hydrogen.
Right.
So the issue was the water car works. Everyone knows it works, but you need a greater charge externally. To generate the fuel, to generate the electrolysis, which creates the fuel from the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can just pour water in and drive. You need a battery, and it's just a kind of combustion.
Well, I'm gonna look more into this so I can bring a deeper understanding of Stanley Meyer's water car. Because if we can use water as fuel, that would be revolutionary.
I think that it may be noble to think of these revolutionary things, man. But I think you got to obey the laws of thermodynamics and. We shouldn't get into wishful thinking.
Oh, but the energy,
cops.
The energy you put into it is, the energy you're putting into it is the water. So it's not that you're getting more energy out. You already have the input.
Ian, I don't think you've read enough about this.
What happens if there's a drought?
You're right. That will exacerbate everything that's happening on Earth right now.
And what happens if people need to drink water and everyone starts pouring it in their cars and there's a water shortage and the price of water skyrockets and everyone starts fighting?
Yeah.
I think that's all going to happen inevitably without it being a fuel.
I think there's a lot of people who want to believe in these magical solutions. They want to be like, we don't need fossil fuels. We don't need to drill. We don't need this. We can just power our heating and food with good intentions. Mm. You know, you just put on a special headband and the whole machine just turns on with the good intentions of but one man. No, it just doesn't work that way. We need energy. Without energy, people die. So when Greta Thunberg comes out and says, how dare you to everybody, and she says, we won't wait until 2030 or 20, not even 2023, we want it shut down now, it's like...
She annoys me. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, that would kill millions of people, but okay. No big deal. You know, that's an idea. Let's not do that. Moving on. Anybody else in the room have any thoughts? Because that was insane.
Well, it's ironic because I think in the long run, them trying to push for these environmental policies right now is going to be way worse for the environment overall, assuming those policies would actually be effective. Because if there is one thing we have seen historically and worldwide, it's that environmentalism is a luxury. And so if you cripple our economy to the point where it can't bounce back, we are not going to be environmentalists. We're going to be doing everything that we can to try to survive.
Yeah,
so Joe Biden keeping pipelines closed or trying to implement whatever other, you know, energy independence, demolishing, pro-climate measure is just going to make it more impossible and more difficult for our country to sustain itself and for our economy to survive, which means in the long run, there's going to be less potential to actually develop the technologies that would help improve the environmental circumstances that they're claiming are going to be to our detriment.
We're at like a launching period right now where we're creating the momentum to bounce off the diving board to dive into a future of energy off of fossil fuels. But in order to get that momentum, we need to use the fossil fuels.
Fusion.
Stuff like that. I think that's being repressed personally because the people in power are afraid that if an individual had infinite electricity, they'd lose control.
It's not infinite. And
it's not infinite. You're right. No, it's a slow burn.
I think the people who run the energy companies desperately want fusion to work so they can control it and own it. Mm. And then they're the barons of this massive energy supply. So it's good for them. They make money off it, baby.
I don't think you can, if I had like a fusion generator in my house, I really don't want to derail this into me dreaming about my fusion generator. But
no, this is powerful companies that invest in new forms of energy because if they own that form of energy, you're dependent upon
it. Oh yeah, they have the only fusion generator. But if everyone's got their own.
No. If they own the fusion generators and the process, I mean, look, you're not going to have a home fusion generator. That's ridiculous.
That's what they want you to think.
We have small generators.
You have a fireplace in your house.
We have small generators you can power your house with, but it's not practical in the long term. You get a natural gas or diesel generator for your house. You turn it on sometimes, but you're not going to want to keep constantly putting fuel in it or whatever. Fusion's fantastic. It generates a lot of energy, but it's not infinite. Energy comes from somewhere. So you'll have a backup generator for those who have it, but the power plant will just be a fusion power plant. You'll pay your electric bill and you'll be dependent upon the system. That's what they want.
You might be able to get a cold tabletop fusion generator and then you just pour deuterium into it, which is heavy water with an added neutron, and then a palladium lattice, and then you bombard it with electricity. And
you're talking about science fiction.
That's called cold fusion. I don't know if it's
science fiction. And the issue is there's not going to be some dude at his house who's like, let me just pour some heavy water into this machine and now I can power my house for 100 years.
Well, it's
just not
in the ocean. I think it's like, I don't know what percentage. It's a very small percentage of the ocean water is heavy water. It's in nature. So you might just be able to pour water in and filter out the heavy water.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But like you're talking about 100 years in the future. You're talking about science fiction.
I'm grabbing at straws because it is terrifying to think that we're hung up on oil still.
And it's going to be oil because oil works. Mm. Because oil
is profitable.
No.
And it does work.
It's profitable because it works. It's
profitable because they can control who has it.
No, Ian, you can't. When there's no wind, you got no wind power. When there's no sun, you got no solar power.
Well, when there's a wind generators, you have no wind power either.
When there's no. Yes. You know, the issue is when it comes to wind and solar, they don't work sometimes. Fossil fuels work 24/7 so long as we're supplying the fossil fuels into the machines.
And if it's not too cold.
That's why it works. Nuclear power works.
Yes.
Nuclear power is also reliable, but for some reason, the establishment doesn't want nuclear power. I don't understand.
They got to sell you that oil, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'll give you that one. You know, we absolutely should be building more nuclear power plants and we're not.
Yes. Absolutely.
So they do want to sell us that oil. I suppose the fear is that if we get off oil too quickly, China or some other country swoops in and starts taking it. Plus there's oil interests, potential for war. Like what's China, Russia, or Saudi Arabia going to do if we're all of a sudden just like oil, no more petrodollar? I think one of the reasons we're so adamant on maintaining oil is not just because it works and it's got a high energy return on any energy invested, but it's also because the U.S. uses it as a control mechanism.
I was thinking if John Rockefeller were alive today, that he would be really upset with what people did with his oil, this whole oil world. I don't think he intended for it to become a weird sociopathic monopoly. He was
you
a pretty
like
God-loving
government
guy.
Control?
Yeah, like he unleashed the beast of greed, of covetousness of this oil all over Earth. I don't think that was his intention.
I think the issue is you can't ship nuclear power, right? You build a nuclear power plant, you put small nuclear reactors in submarines and stuff, and they can power them. But if you want to transport energy and sell it and control the mechanism by which it's sold, the petrodollar, oil is a substance that can be moved all around the planet. You get everybody to buy and sell using U.S. currency, the reserve currency, and you own everything.
That makes sense.
And it's liquid, too. You can.
Right, they don't want to give it up.
Pipelines and stuff.
That's right. And then you've got pipelines everywhere, and they don't want to give it up. But if we were to shift in the United States to nuclear or other renewables, then we would lose the ability to point the weapons at people and be like, buy it with our money or else.
Interesting. So how much oil is in Alaska? Is there any way that we could be energy independent by that?
Well, we were energy independent technically under Donald Trump. We were a net exporter of oil.
Right.
And then as soon as Biden gets in, it's like time to start importing oil again. And it's funny because they're like, Biden didn't do anything. And I'm like, he ended oil and gas leases because of the climate cost. That was reported by the AP.
Right.
That's just, I'm not even going to say anything else. Joe Biden shut down oil and gas leases like a month ago.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, oh, the climate cost is too high. Okay, well, you know.
You made a good point that climate, that like caring about the environment is a luxury.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Yo, it gets scary, man. I'm seeing a discussion among the experts that if Russian imports are shut down, then gas could be over 200, crude could be over $200 a barrel. And then we're looking at $7.50 or $8 a gallon.
Jeez.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We're going to be on like horse and buggy again.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of cool though. Horses are fun.
That's all right.
You can pet them.
No, definitely.
Like, I don't love my car, but you can hug a horse.
Instead of mechanics, you have to go to a vet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really good time.
And it's funny because like when you're like in the carriage and the horse is walking, it lifts its tail up and just poops right there.
All over the place.
And right on the, but here's like right on the ground. Like when you're getting
fertilizer. It's great.
When you're getting an oil change, you gotta go and you get to spoil. Why can't I just pour the oil down the sewer drain? You know, apparently you can't do it.
Yeah, you can't.
But if your horse takes a dump, no problem.
It's really messed up.
Yeah.
You put jingle bells on your horse.
That's right.
You're selling this idea.
When it's dark at night and you hear ching, 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 you know how fast the horse is running and where, how far away from you it is. That's why they put bells on the horses.
What would road rage look like with horses?
What did road rage look like with horses? Like people with like a saber on the right side or the guy riding shotgun with an actual shotgun.
I'm not going to say it didn't exist, but also I think part of the reason you have road rage is just because of the anonymity of being behind the wheel. If you're on horses and you're like looking at the other guy, I think people are a little bit less tough.
Howdy, neighbor.
You're going slower.
Yeah, you're going slower.
But people also had swords and guns.
No, it's true. I'm not dueling, like I'm saying, people got into fights and they were angry, but
I think part of
the reason why there's so much road. No, I get what you're saying too, that there's a deterrent there. Someone's actually going to fight
you. There's the duel.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
People in government used to duel.
Yes.
That was literally a thing.
There's actually a movie about the last duel. Did you guys see that
one?
No,
it isn't.
Some French guy.
Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr.
Yeah.
And apparently, what did they say? Hamilton didn't really expect to shoot Aaron Burr. He thought it was going to be a gentlemanly honor thing and that they would duel, but he would intentionally miss and they would move on. Jeez. But Aaron Burr was like, I'm kill this guy.
Also, why would you assume that?
You can't. That's not a safe assumption.
Gonna let someone point a gun at you and like, it's okay, they won't shoot me.
Bro, like, I don't think those things were very accurate. And so they're kind of like, walk 10 paces, turn around, there's a bang, we go home. But the guy got him. Got him.
Yikes.
So, you know, lost his life. And then apparently the younger generation was offended by it and was like, people should stop dueling. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. Some states still have mutual combat. Yeah. I think Oregon has mutual combat, right?
Interesting. Yeah. I'll look that up. I don't know.
How about we do that for the next presidential election?
Yes. Mutual combat. I love this.
Yeah. Trial by combat for the presidency.
Yeah.
Or what is it? What is it?
Just put him in a ring. UFC.
Yes.
The children of Joe Biden and Donald Trump are entitled to enter a ring and challenge each other. Only the presidential families.
We had a TV host, radio personality in Donald Trump be president. I wouldn't be surprised if we have two fighters that fight for the presidency in the next 100 years. I wouldn't be surprised the way it's going.
Yeah, Washington and Texas are the only two states that still allow mutual combat. So
Washington.
Yeah, Washington, not Oregon.
This thing about the last duels from 1386, it's a movie that just came out last year in medieval France. Jean de Carrouget. I don't know how you pronounce that exactly.
Yeah, we were dueling Jacques in the U.S. couple hundred years ago.
Yeah. Duel. Interesting.
It was like the last legal duel, I think, in Europe. I'm not 100% sure.
Should dueling be legal?
Yeah, what do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
You were just ready with that one. You're like, absolutely.
Why?
Because judging by social media, a lot of people are
ready.
Are ready, and they pretend they're tougher than they are. So I would like to actually do an experiment just for science.
I think we solved all of our problems.
Yeah.
To all the Great Reset, World Economic Forum people who want to depopulate, bring back dueling.
Perfect.
And for all those who don't like cancel culture, let the cancel culture people duel each other.
Yes.
It's win-win.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Everyone just goes outside and starts fighting.
Our country is so polarized that, like, for the first week when people were talking about bringing dueling back, everyone would be like, yeah, let's do it. And then when it came time to do it, it would happen for like a week. And then people would be like, all right, like, I really don't want to do this anymore.
No, you'd get the right being like, guys, this is ridiculous. We can't just start fighting each other and killing each other. And the left would be like, you're a bigot. Dueling should be allowed as tradition for various cultures. And then as soon as the right says, okay, fine, we agree, let's start dueling, they'll be like, well, we actually think dueling is wrong. We've evolved on the issue. Yeah. They just would never agree on it. It's just not allowed.
This movie's about the last what's called judiciary duel held in France. And then later, it was 1547 was the last legal duel in France. I guess we're still doing them in the United States.
Interesting.
I think we should have actual trial by combat, like at a court. It's like you walk in and the judge is like, we have the case of, you know, the state versus John Smith. You are speeding. You're going 30 and you're going 30 miles over in a 45. I would like to fight the officer, Your Honor. Floor expands into an arena, and the cop is like, you know, you're like got to wrestle.
Oh, the guy takes his wig off, and he's like, they're all going like, fight.
That would be awesome.
Cops would be very worried about, like, they pull a guy over, and he's like 6'7" and super ripped, and he's like, you have a good day, sir.
Yeah, that's been nice.
Let him go.
If they did let the presidents duel for combat for experience, would they be able to like claim like a champion? Like, would Biden be able to bring a champion in to fight for him?
No.
Wait, he's too old to fight.
Too old to fight, you're too old to be president,
exactly.
Bro.
There you go.
Ooh. Thank you. Yep. Perfect.
I got a legitimate, I got an actual idea. Here's what we do. International law. We would need some way to enforce it, but the idea would be if a war were ever to break out, instead, the firstborn children of both countries' world leaders have to fight to the death.
Oh my.
Ooh. And then the winner wins the war.
Spicy.
So you'd have like, you know, Putin's son would be like crazy ripped and then Zelensky's son or whatever. And if they don't have a son, then they have to fight.
They themselves have to
fight. I wonder if, I'm kidding obviously with that idea, but I'm wondering if forcing the leaders to put themselves on the line or their families would be a deterrent for war.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that even if it's not a dueling thing, just in terms of if there was a war, yeah, send them first. Send the firstborn child. See how, you know.
They would be like, I would not like to have this war.
Yeah. No, like, they would still do it, and then the military would ensure that their kid was never on the front lines.
No. Arena duel. Like,
okay,
everyone shows up, and there's a big, you know, ring, and they bring the children of the world leaders who are going to war, and then, here's what it would be. The person declaring war has to send their son, and if no son themselves, and the person being challenged can elect anyone they want.
So here's what happens. Every world leader adopts a kid they don't care about.
I said firstborn.
They never see that. Oh, well, they could just adopt a kid before they have any children.
I said firstborn or themselves.
You'll be like, I'm not going to have kids till after I declare my wars.
then they personally have
then
to
they
fight.
Have to
wait
go.
Until I'm old.
Never
yeah.
mind.
And then the person who's the declaree, the person who's getting war, can choose anybody. So like Putin would be like, we're going to war in Ukraine. And it's like, all right, it's you or your son.
Defender's
who's
advantage.
And then Zelensky would just be like, I'm going to find some great, you know, MMA dude and have him do it. There you go.
I have a feeling that that is how it used to be. And then they were like, we got to start telling them that we're gods. So they stopped making us go to war with them.
We watched
get treated with royalty.
We, we watched Troy this weekend. You guys ever see Troy?
No.
And it's like Achilles challenges the prince to a battle. I don't know. Basically, like, he walks up to the gate by himself and they're at war and he's like, Hector! And then they come out and they fight one-on-one with all the soldiers watching. And it's kind of crazy to think, because I can't imagine that if, like, a U.S. Marine walked up to, like, an Al-Qaeda base or an ISIS base and yelled, Al-Baghdadi, you challenged me! They would just be like, bang.
Yeah.
Next. Like, that was ridiculous. What was that all about? But in these old stories, there was, like, honor in war and, like, you would challenge someone to a fight. In fact, yeah, in the movie, the brother of Agamemnon, I think it was, challenges Paris, the prince of Troy, to a duel for his wife or whatever. And it's like all the armies are standing there watching. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Did they really do that?
The stories say that they did, that they would send their best warrior out. And then the other side would send their best warrior. And it was whoever won would basically decide the battle, so you don't have to throw a bunch of people's lives away.
Yeah. Maybe we should still do that.
I think ballistics changed everything.
They mastered
the art of firing weapons.
The opening scene is like, Sparta is, you know, confronting this other nation, and they have this big, super ripped guy who's their champion, and then Achilles comes out and just runs up and then, like, takes a sword, one-shots him, like, in the neck, and then he's like, ah, and then the leader of the enemy, you know, the other side says, like, give this scepter to our king, for he rules our country, and, like, that's how it was. I'm like, man, that made things so much easier, I guess. It's like, oh, you're the boss now. You have become the president of this country because you killed some dude, a guy who was like our guy, and you beat him.
There's pros and cons to that, because you could get a really strong dude that whoops the other guy's butt, but then ends up being an absolute idiot, so, you know.
Yeah, but now it's just whoever's the best at gossiping.
Yeah.
We're like, yes, you win. You can run the country now. You made him look bad and yourself look good. And that's it.
It's kind of crazy how things have gotten to this point.
It is.
Russia is absolutely terrible at information war. So it's like, with all the censorship, with all the cutting off, it looks like what we're seeing with China, with India, with Mexico as countries, they're actually scared to get involved and help Russia out. Because it looks like they're like, nah, Russia's been canceled. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that an entire country could be canceled? And one of the things I was thinking about was, who do you think that cutting off a Tesla would affect most? You think that would affect Putin? You really think that would affect the military, or would it affect Olga, who's trying to take Dmitry to the grocery store and buy groceries for their family? Like, who do you really think this is going to affect? I'm like, do you want a civil war in Russia? Do you want them focused on themselves?
Yes.
I guess maybe that's an approach.
But I think what you end up seeing with this is just the Russian people genuinely hating the rest of the world for doing it.
Right.
Like, exactly. Why are you attacking me? What did I do? Putin was right.
Right.
That's what they're going to say.
Well, we've already seen those huge protests, right, of Russians who aren't interested in going to war with Ukraine. Like, these are the normal people who don't like what Putin is doing. And we're punishing them. We're taking away all their entertainment. We're taking away their ability to pay anything. I'm talking about cutting off their Teslas, for Pete's sake. Like,
well, you know what, man? Unfair. I'll tell you the one thing. The only thing that matters is that Sean Penn flees to Poland on foot after calling on America to fight for Ukraine. Why? Like,
He was very anti-war, wasn't he, in the early 2000s? Was that a huge part of his shtick and his activism?
I don't know.
I'm just exhausted by this. Sean Penn, I don't know or care about you. And why are you telling us to get involved in a war with Russia, which is a nuclear power? This is the stupidest thing ever. Like, this actor guy goes to a foreign country during a war and then's like, we gotta go fight for them. No, we don't. And you shouldn't have been there. I will say this. Americans are certainly arrogant, that's for sure. And, maybe most of them, you know, in different ways. We have this contingent of the Hollywood establishment elites and the Democrat elites, and they're so full of themselves, they're so entitled. And then you also have, you know, many other Americans, and maybe more justified in arrogance, you know, in the observation of American power and might around the world.
I was just watching a Howard Stern clip of, what's his name from Breaking Bad, the guy, Odenkirk. And he was like, oh, and after, you know, before he got Breaking Bad, it was so hard. I was writing and we were barely making any money and I had this big loan. And Stern was like, oh, that must have been so hard for you. Like, he was like, you know, I'm writing movies and taking these little acting roles and I'm in debt. And Stern's reaction that what suffering you must have been going through having to write movies and act and be in debt. I'm like, how detached these people have become from what real suffering is.
Yep.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of the peaceful protests and how a lot of people were acting really irrationally, like that mass psychosis where now you got a bunch of people that are openly just hating Russians because they're trying to like shut off cars and stop selling their products and stuff like that. It's like you're demonizing an entire population of people in the same way that people were so willing to go smash businesses and hurt people that weren't putting their fist up in the air just because they thought that they were actually doing something helpful.
Well, in some instances, they actually are vandalizing Russian-owned businesses or companies with the word Russia in the name. Like this happened in Canada, happened in Germany. It's insane. Like
that, this is the beautiful ones.
This is, okay,
so I'm going to go back to the Rat Utopia.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Rat Utopia, they put all these rats in a big box. They gave them all the food and water they wanted and then left them alone. And eventually, a group developed called the Beautiful Ones in the behavioral sink. These are people who did nothing but groom themselves. They just groomed themselves and tried to make themselves more beautiful. And that's the virtue signal. That's what we're seeing now with people like Sean Penn. Look at this tweet from him. Myself and two colleagues walked miles to the Polish border after abandoning our car on the side of the road. Almost all of the cars in this photo carry women and children only, most without any sign of luggage, and a car, their only possession of value. And here's like, they planned this photo of him walking. This is Sean Penn's vapid ego virtue signal on display. His intentions, this is my opinion of him, is that he wants his name to matter. He wants to be beautiful and seen by everyone. So he flies himself into a war zone and then makes it about him and what he's doing and we must fight. What are you doing there?
Yeah.
This guy has nothing to do with this, no experience here, but he wants people to see him as beautiful.
I'm getting Tropic Thunder vibes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Some of that last night.
But so this, good. But this is virtue signal to the nth degree. You cannot virtue signal more than flying into a war zone and then being like, we abandoned our cars, fleet on foot because only women and children. Shut up.
It was like, why don't you put the damn camera down and help if it's actually, you know, this is a photo shoot to me. This is virtue signaling.
Because in the behavioral sink, the rats or the mice, whichever, because they did both, just wanted to look beautiful.
Hmm.
Well, beautiful to rats is just, you know, grooming yourself and then having other rats look at you. For a male, it is peacocking. It is making yourself as boisterous and loud and visible as possible. This, to me, is the epitome of self-grooming behavioral sink. A guy with no business in this war flies in, films himself going there, post social media of like, look what I'm doing. And it's just like, we've gotten to the point now where we have these plastic robot people. They treat all of this like a game, like a TV show. This is the most insane thing. You know, it's just like, he just wants people to see him. And he wants to say, I went to Ukraine during the war. I talked to the families. The U.S. must fight. It's like, shut up. Shut your mouth. Go home, you pathetic loser.
Oh, who's that girl?
I don't care what you have to say about this. You have nothing to do with it.
Jane Fonda went to Vietnam, I think, and hung out with the Viet Cong. Is that what it was? Jane Fonda? And the media launched on her for trying. It was basically like if someone went to Russia right now and was trying to like show some humanity about the Russian people. Jane Fonda did that in Vietnam, but people did not want that. I think this guy's an actor. You know, I've always got the vibe from Sean Penn that he really wants to help people. That's kind of what I was going through as a kid. And I thought, let me go get into acting so that I can be famous. And then when I tell people like good ideas that I have, I'll be able to tell them to more people. And I think I've always thought Sean Penn was a pretty ethical guy, but when you're an actor, that's all you really know how to do is act. You just talk in front of a camera. That's his job. It's what he's done his whole life. I've never seen any other skills this guy has.
Yeah, I think you might be right. And it's commonly said that Americans have main character syndrome. And I commented on Twitter that our main import at this point is narcissism because NPR was talking about how to maintain your self-composure when you're reading the news about people fleeing their homes and being bombed and stuff. And I was like, what kind of narcissism is this? It makes us think that we're the most important people. And Ian is right about Sean Penn being an actor. This picture is so clearly staged. It's kind of disturbing to think that people are actually suffering and he is treating it like a movie.
Yeah.
And many Americans are. And they're like, oh, this crazy stuff happening, the ghost of Kiev, the Snake Island. And it's like, I wonder how much of this stuff will be proven to be false as we go on. We're just treating it like a movie. Oh, who are we going to cast as Zelensky when the movie comes around? It's like
Jeremy Renner for sure.
No, what is wrong with us though? Like, why have we been thinking
about
that?
Sean Penn arrives in Ukraine to film documentary about Russian invasion.
What?
The actor and director came to tell the world the truth about Russia's invasion of our country, says the office of Ukraine's president. Imagine, imagine being as vapid as this guy is.
He's bored.
You know, man. Yeah. You know what, man? I just, the virtue signaling has just reached a point where it's just vomitous.
Have you guys seen Ukraine on Fire, the documentary?
Mm-mm.
I have not yet. It's an Oliver Stone. So Oliver went in there, I think it was from 4 years ago he did this. This is 4 years ago. So Oliver Stone, I mean, he was talking about this stuff way before any kind of physical conflict erupted, basically about the CIA coup in Ukraine and the installation of Poroshenko and basically how you, the UN or whatever the heck this body, NATO, is pushing the borders of Russia, pushing right up against the borders of Russia. And I have a lot of respect for Oliver Stone. So you want to talk about someone in the entertainment industry that's really doing good, making documentaries about this stuff? Oliver Stone is at the tip of the spear. Maybe this will be end up being really good. I don't know. He flies in,
goes to the president's office to officially support them, and he condemned Russia before even knowing what was going on in the country. And that's something like not even anybody at Vice would do.
Hmm.
You know, they would go in and they would have their assumptions based on stories they read, but they wouldn't be like, we hereby declare that we're sending in journalists to uncover all the lies about the invasion. They'd be like, we're sending a reporter to see what's going on.
What's up? Yeah.
And that's about it. And then, you know, it was like the crazy thing is Vice, as like fast and loose as it was with a lot of its journalism, took it seriously. Like one of our reporters, I remember, I think Glenn Beck criticized Vice when I was working there, because I think it was Danny Gold, one of the Vice reporters, went to Palestine during I think it might have been Operation Protective Edge, and Danny also went to Israel. You know, he went to Palestine and Israel and documented what people were going through. And Glenn Beck, I think it was Glenn, I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, maybe it wasn't Glenn, but some conservative pundit criticized him, saying they're only showing what the Palestinians are going through and not what the Israelis are going through. And we were all confused by that, because we were like, Vice put out literally two short docs showing the Palestinian and Israeli sides of the conflict. And it wasn't really like there was, it wasn't pro one side or the other. It was like, here we are, here's what's happening. So that's the issue I take with this, because certainly, you know, I've had my share of parachuting into many different countries, but we would never go in and just, you know, valiantly decry and declare we knew what was going on. In fact, when I was in Ukraine, there was British media, it wasn't publicly funded British media. It was one of their news corporations had put out fake news about a protest that was actually pro Yanukovych. I could be getting this wrong. It's been almost 10 years. And it was a big rally of Ukrainians came out to support their president. And then some media outlet like lied about it and said it was opposing it or whatever. And we were all confused. We were like, what? They're all waving Ukrainian flags and supporting their president. But of course, the Western narrative was the Ukrainians hated Yanukovych and they didn't want the Russian regime. They wanted the EU and all that stuff. So you got the same fake news. So when I see like these vapid Hollywood actors who specifically fly into a country to tell the world the Russians are, to tell the truth about Russia's invasion of our country, says the Ukraine's, Office of Ukraine's president, and he meets with the president, and it's very clear he has an agenda. I'm like, I can't stand the lies and the propaganda. Like, there are a lot of journalists down there right now who are doing a really good job in telling people what's going on, and it does not look good for Russia, and that's all you need to do. You know who's cool? Trey Yinks is cool.
Who's that?
Fox News. Trey. He's I'm pretty sure he's on the ground right now in Kiev reporting.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, I've seen his name.
Yeah, it is a good job. Yeah. There you go.
Cool.
That's what a reporter does. They go down there and they say, here's what's happening.
Right.
Like, they're tweeting like air raid sirens. Like, they're not posting photos themselves with like at an angle with like carrying their bag, like, I abandoned my car. We have to make it to the border. Yeah, they're not doing that. They're like wearing bulletproof vests and like, I'm reporting here in central Kiev. Right now we're hearing, because there's journalism and then there's whatever this is, the beautiful ones of Universe 25.
This is Kony 2012, 2022. Remember that movie, Kony 2012?
Oh, man.
The propaganda campaign.
Yeah. That was crazy.
I saw those stickers everywhere. I didn't know what they were.
It was Kony 2012. You guys remember? You remember that? It was.
Oh, I remember that.
There was this documentary. It was like a commercial, and it was the stupidest thing ever, because it was like, the digital media has allowed us to have power like more than ever before, and we can come together. And it was this big, grandiose narrative, how we can all join forces and fight for the good of stopping this one guy in an African nation who's trafficking kids.
Wasn't he already dead?
And he like, yeah, he apparently wasn't involved anymore.
He was an evil guy. He had child soldiers or something. But yeah, he was already dead by the time the documentary came
out. I don't know
if
he was dead, but he was ousted already. Right. It was like not happening. But my issue was kind of like, they made this documentary that was very grandiose about like global affairs and the world. And they're like, and that's why we need your help to stop one guy you probably never heard of in a Central African nation who's like a bad guy. But man, on our list of bad dudes, like Al Baghdadi was still like, you know, there was ISIS.
Yeah.
Well, actually 2012, how prominent was ISIS back then? They were fairly prominent, right?
They were JB then,
no.
I think.
No.
Yeah.
It was before ISIS.
Yeah, you're right.
It was Taliban.
Well, that was, and that was Kony before or after bin Laden?
After.
Needless to say, there were many bad people other than this one Kony.
Yeah, and it was all, let's come together. It just felt like World Economic Forum propaganda, looking back on it. I was still in the Obama brain fog at that time.
What was his plan, though? Like,
Then the guy who did it, like, from that organization, was, like, stripped nude and started, like, jumping up and down and banging on the pavement while gripping himself, if you know what I mean.
I remember that. What's going on?
Yeah. Jason Russell, the director.
Was that it?
Yeah. I'm going to look into that.
That wasn't a part of the tactics.
You probably
took
I don't know.
Maybe.
But I'm wondering, here's what I'm wondering. What if the Kony 2012 video was the test firing of a social media manipulation tactic or weapon, basically?
Yeah.
Can we weaponize propaganda to direct everyone to do one thing, and they tried it out to see what would happen? Because you got to test weapons.
Mm.
And it was a fifth generational warfare.
I was thinking about this, actually, because technically, people have the data on society as in terms of, okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to put in front of people's screens in order for them to render this type of behavior? And if you think of like all of these crazy campaigns and social media trends over the years, like one comes to mind, like that ALS ice bucket challenge stuff. Yeah. Just that and doing these different trends, you can sort of guess where you can lead society in a particular direction just by socially engineering stuff like that. So technically they have enough data to know that they can make people jump just by doing certain things.
Yeah, the Russian propaganda campaign has been going on since 2015, 16? When did that turn on? 2015?
I mean, everyone's always running propaganda campaigns. Like every country's got it. What I'm actually wondering is, you guys have heard of Havana Syndrome?
Yeah.
No.
So there are people who have reported that they'll be, you know, like working in some government building and they'll hear a hum, and then all of a sudden they'll start getting headaches and they'll start getting blurry vision and they get permanent like vision damage.
What?
And for a while people were just like, oh, it must be something unrelated and people are overreacting. But then the White House got hit by Havana Syndrome.
Really?
So it may be some kind of directed energy weapon meant to cause long-term damage to a person. Because think about it this way. If you're engaged in a war with a long-term plan, you could be thinking, this person could probably be a threat. Cause damage to them now so they don't last 5 or 10 years in this industry. Diminish the amount of time they have so they're not a threat to you in the future. That's the kind of crazy stuff we're seeing. But here's what I was thinking with Russia. Do you guys really believe that nuclear weapons are the pinnacle of military might these days?
Not anymore.
No, no way.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, weapons of mass destruction, generally speaking, but we can also talk about biological weapons, chemical weapons, that kind of thing.
No, not even that.
Laser weaponry.
I think if you know what it is, then it's not the pinnacle of weapons technology.
Oh, I hear you.
We didn't know about nukes, Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
There was speculation.
Until they got used, right.
Yep. So there was a report that came out where it was like, what could they be building? Some thought it was like a death ray, like a beam that would like, you know, cause damage. They didn't know for sure because all of these different areas were working on specific things and then journalists couldn't put it together. So if the U.S. Or any country has something, one of the arguments put forward is that we would see the infrastructure operation. You'd see the trucks bringing certain materials to certain areas and bringing them underground. You'd know they'd be building something, but you don't know what they'd be building. So is it cyber? Is it influential? Is it psychological manipulation, or is it possible that, like, we even understand the concept of rods from God? That's a satellite holding giant tungsten rods. It drops them and they slam into the earth. And they're like more powerful than nukes. Could they have something more powerful than even that?
I think,
because they wouldn't tell us.
I think that tiny, tiny micro drones that can fly into people's ears are pretty dangerous. I don't know about that. I know. I don't either. That's the problem.
But that's a good
point. Because
it's in your ear, Tim. That's why you don't know.
That's a good point, right? Like, I'm so ready to dismiss the idea of micro drones flying in your ear and like killing you or whatever. But that's actually a good idea. We would not know and we would think it was crazy. If like a CIA officer was just like, the U.S., micro drones fly in your ear, kill you like that.
Yes.
We'd be like, shut up.
Yep.
Not true. Because we wouldn't believe it.
I remember, I think it was 2004. I was like, they can fly a drone into a window and hurt someone? Like, it was like groundbreaking, the concept of being able to literally.
I don't know if you guys remember the Black Mirror episode, but the way they introduced these tiny lethal drones was because the bees died. And I was like, oh, well, we have bees that are dying. That's so interesting. What if we decide to try to fix this problem with these little drones that can activate if your social credit score is low or something like that? And that's what ended up happening in that episode.
Yo.
That's why I stopped being that
Look
show.
At this story.
Oh, my gosh.
The disturbing story of the heart attack gun invented by the CIA during the Cold War. The heart attack gun fired a dart made of frozen shellfish toxin that would enter the target's bloodstream and kill them in mere minutes without leaving a trace. Senator Frank Church holds aloft the heart attack gun during a public hearing. I mean, think about that. A frozen dart with shellfish toxin? That sounds like caveman technology. I mean, not really, but it's like, based on our standards, like, sure, you're just poisoning somebody. Think about what they could make. What if it had like polonium in it or something more brutal? So easily to deliver this stuff. So easy to deliver these kinds of things. So there's a scope on it, and they hit you with it. You have a heart attack, and it leaves no trace.
Amazing.
Yep.
And then how did that come out? Do you know much about this story? Yeah, because these guys are testifying in front of Congress about it right now.
They say, in 1975, more than 30 years of almost unrestricted CIA activity came grinding to a halt before Senator Frank Church on Capitol Hill after the shocking revelations of the Watergate scandal. Okay, so I guess it was Watergate. Mm. The American public had suddenly gained an intense interest in the activities of their intelligence agencies. Unable to resist the growing disquiet any longer, Congress was forced to peer into the dark corners of the Cold War, and some of them held bizarre secrets. What they found was the stuff of paranoid thrillers and hair-raising spy fiction alike. Aside from plans to assassinate national leaders from across the globe and extensive spying on American citizens, investigators came across the heart attack gun, a macabre weapon that could cause death in minutes without leaving a trace. This is the story of what may be one of the Central Intelligence Agency's most chilling gadgets
that we know of.
Yeah.
There was an old conspiracy where this woman was posting crazy stuff on Facebook, and people started asking, like, who was she and why was she posting this? Because it was like seemingly random gibberish. It would be a large paragraph saying something like, I went to the store to pick up an oatmeal spoon, but the dog came running in with the vanilla. When I saw it, I screamed and jumped in the car and drove to the edge of the cliff where the surfers were screaming. Like, it was just nonsense, right? And you were like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And so everyone was trying to figure out what it was. And I don't know if it could have just been fake. Some people believed that what was happening was that someone working in intelligence was using a fake profile to post messages that someone else could receive without anyone making the connection. The message was publicly available, hard to find because it was on a random Facebook profile, and only the person who knew it to look for could read it. Others speculated that the woman who was posting it, who was older, was former CIA, and that she had been drugged with some kind of psychoactive, you know, drug to basically corrupt her mind, so that she could no longer tell people what she knew. Like, it was someone who knew secrets who was going to blow the whistle. So they used some kind of drug to twist her brain so she could no longer form proper sentences.
Was she CIA? She was CIA? Is that why that?
Just conspiracy theory. Just people were like, they believed they found her name in, like, you know, a database related to, like, government workers or something. Could all just be fake. Could have just been someone having a laugh. But there was, like, years of these posts.
Interesting.
So it was kind of like, I don't know about that. It could just be some crazy lady who was posting random gibberish because she was unwell. But it's crazy to hear these stories, because while that story may be just totally irrelevant, when you hear about in the 70s, they have a heart attack gun. My question is, does the United States or any other government have the ability to make you insane? How hard would it be to do something to someone's brain to make it so they can't talk properly?
I don't know if this is off the list of stuff we can talk about, but can you talk about other governments?
What do you mean?
So I like to research a lot about things happening in, like, with China's government.
Yeah.
And I've seen some documentaries. You were talking about the Havana Syndrome, and I've seen some documentaries of people that oppose their government. And what happens is that there was this, like, one family where the regime was sent after them, and they had these types of devices that would be in proximity to their houses, and it would cause them to become very confused. It would make them ill. So it's like what you're describing sounds kind of similar. And then I also saw something about how they're working on something to essentially something to do with, like, controlling their people's brains. I don't know how advanced they are, how far off that is, but that's a possibility from what I've been seeing.
Well, this brings me to Yuval Noah Harari talking about hacking humans. This is like one of the number three guys at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
And he's blatantly saying it has come to the point now where we can hack human brains, and it's going to continue to happen.
But you got to understand that at a rudimentary sense, hacking human brain is just talking to someone.
Right.
You know what
true.
I mean?
True.
Right.
Like, you know what to say to make them behave a certain way. So you publish commercials.
Oh, yeah.
You
subliminal messaging was like the oldest version of this in media, you know, when they'd flash an image in the middle of a commercial and you wouldn't even realize you saw it, but then you start thinking about it.
Dude, when I was like 20, I was hanging out with my friends and we were watching, we might have been watching like Colbert Report or something. And it was a commercial and it was dumb and it was just like, you know, body armor, deodorant. We weren't paying attention. And then all of a sudden it went bam, real quick.
What?
And I caught it. It said U.S. Army, go U.S. Army.
What?
And then my friend had TiVo. And so I was like, stop it. Go back. And there was a split second where it just showed the U.S. Army logo. I don't know what it was.
That's straight up from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Join the Navy.
And then I was like, dude, for like a second, it just played a bramp and showed that and flickered in and out. And it said, go Army. Like, it was like, I think it was go Army. It was like, it may have been an Army of One, whatever the logo was at the time.
Huh.
So I don't know what that was. But it just like flashed on the screen. And so far be it for me to accuse anybody of doing that on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that kind of stuff. Was this on cable? Because sometimes there are weird mix-ups with like the commercials that they're playing.
It could have been. Because we were watching cable for sure.
Yeah. Interesting.
Like one commercial over. Because it was Colbert.
Yeah, that's right. It's Comedy Central.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw like a porn one time. And there was.
Really, Ian?
Yeah. Let me tell you about it, Tim. There was subliminal. Like over the video, it was talking like, the Russians have invaded. It is a humanitarian crisis. Just like,
wait, what?
Over, I kept repeating it over and over again.
Recently?
No, this was like 4 years ago.
When did the Russians invade?
I don't remember the exact propaganda that it was saying, Crimea. But it was like seeding this propaganda over and over again over the video. I was like,
that's
what the heck?
Weird.
But it was blatant. It wasn't quiet. It was like, it was subtle though. It was very weird. Very weird. The only way to see it was to listen to it. It was crazy.
Huh.
You gotta stop, man.
That
might be true.
It's going to destroy your brain.
There are a couple interesting devices that we know about. So apparently you can buy flashlights that will shine specific patterns of light or colors that make people feel nauseated.
Mm, easily done, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's ULF sound generators, which is also the subject of...
Ultra low
frequency. I think this may be conspiracy territory, like, well, I guess it's not a conspiracy, it's not criminal. But the idea is the militaries are working on technology where, and look this up because this might be nonsense, but I was reading about ghosts a long time ago, and I want scientific explanations for the ghost phenomenon. I don't care about someone being like, it's the spirit of someone. I'm like, get out of here. And so what I read was that in many of these areas where people claim there's hauntings, they've also found evidence of ultra-low frequencies coming from maybe underground or from terrestrial movement, things like that, like geological activity. And this can have an impact on someone's body and cause manipulations in perception or a sense of someone being there around them or something like that.
Right.
And so this idea was weaponized purportedly. Again, I haven't read. It was like 15 years ago. I was reading something on the internet. Probably fake. But it was saying something like they have taken generators that generate ultra low frequency sound and it causes people to feel disoriented, confused, paranoid, and sick. Mm-hmm. So these kinds of weapons, I would have to say I believe. Come on. Of course, militaries around the world have been working on ways to incapacitate people by any means necessary.
This is the from militarytimes.com. It's called Talking Plasma. You can find that if you look up militarytimes.com and Talking Plasma. And instead of beaming a flashing light or shouting over a loudspeaker to keep people away from sensitive areas, new technology being developed could allow troops to fire a laser that can form a plasma ball that talks to the potential intruder.
What?
Talks to someone with a laser. Okay. This is military tech.
Yeah, this is militarytimes.com. Pentagon scientists are making talking plasma laser balls for use as non-lethal weapons in 2019.
That's more like it. I was going to say all these weapons seem
stop
clumsy.
Or we'll be forced to fire upon you.
This is awesome.
I think a lot of UFOs that we see on radar are these plasma balls being moved around really fast just with laser.
What were you saying before? It was like three lasers.
Yeah, you triangulate. at least three or more quadrangulate. You know, you can, and then you hit a point in the sky and create a ball of plasma, and then you can move.
So it's basically all the lasers are intersecting.
Yeah,
creating a single point where the energy intersects, and you can see it.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, so maybe they're pointing those towards people's brains. I don't know if they can make them hear things.
They're gonna one day. Ian's gonna be like complaining of hearing a humming noise. He's gonna be like the Panama pump,
what was it?
I can't remember. I wonder what we're talking about.
I hear you. I mean, all this set aside though, I could understand them developing these experimental new technologies to use as weapons, but they pretty much know how to control people already. You just make them lazy.
Yep.
You destroy their ability to defer gratification. They will do whatever you want. But they've already done it.
Yes, but listen. No, I mean, we're here. We've got
a couple
tens of thousands of people watching.
There are always going to be some people in a population who don't fall into it. But
if they can take a Sonar dish or something and point it at you and click a button, and then all of a sudden you're like, no, what's happening? Yes, I love Joe Biden. He's the greatest president. They'd do it. They'd be like, all right, mission accomplished.
I have to go make Biden tunes.
That's right.
You're talking about ways to control that aren't like taking away something, like taking away your food or taking away your money.
Yeah, well, look, as long as you get people to pursue pleasure rather than virtue, as soon as they believe that public opinion is on a specific side of an issue, they're going to go along with it because that's what's easier for them, and they've habituated themselves towards always taking the path of least resistance.
Well, then, how about we take the path of the super chats?
That's right.
And talk to all you guys. So if you haven't already, peck that like button. The Chicken City live stream is now up, and we are slowly building and expanding it. So good. I don't even know what the URL is to Chicken City.
Let me see if I can find it. You can search Chicken City on YouTube, and it's one of the first ones that'll come up.
And it's just a 24/7. It's been streaming for days.
Yeah,
it's just the chickens. Yeah. So we're going to be adding more cameras. We're going to be adding the night vision. You can listen to them. They scream all day. You can sometimes hear us talking like when we're walking around outside and stuff like that. So Chicken City is pretty awesome. And it's rudimentary. So a lot of people are like, we need more cameras. Like, yep. We've got multiple cameras. Now we just need to get to the point where we configure everything. The idea was, as always, start it up. Slowly build up from there. So we'll be adding night vision soon. But don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show if you really like it, posting that URL wherever you can. Go to timcast.com, become a member right now, because we're going to have that members only segment coming up for you at 11 p.m. And now let's read your super chats. The top super chat, whose name I can't read because that's how YouTube does it, says, see you guys in the wasteland.
Hmm.
Post-apocalyptia, baby. All right. Pirate Taurus, what did it say? Pirate Taurus, spice up Chicken City a bit by theming it like a brothel. With a stage, call it Kickin' Chicken City. Drums, bass, horns, and all. Mm-hmm. We have a problem because we have Roberto, who's the patriarch. We didn't intend to buy a rooster. We never bought a rooster. We bought eight chickens. A couple died. We adopted another one. And it turns out one of our chickens was actually a dude.
Yep.
Well, he promptly started making more chickens with the other chickens. And then we had a bunch hatch, and one of them is Roberto Jr. For a while, everything was fine because I made sure, you know, I talked to some chicken tenders, you know, chicken farmers, and they said it's fine to have the young cockerel with his dad because as long as he grows up with them, it's not like, you know, the movies where they fight to the death. They don't do that, but they will like be territorial. So now they're basically like yelling at each other in competition. One will rock and roll, and the other one will go, and they just keep going back and forth because they're like, I'm the boss. No, I'm the boss. And so we may just separate them. Or bring more hens in. And we got 54 eggs in the incubator.
We got a lot.
Dude, we caught some hot action of the two roosters fighting over one of the hens.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah,
was it the young one that threw the drop kick?
Yeah.
Roberto Jr. drop kicked
Roberto Sr.
That was hot.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was
Chicken City is full of drama, man. People don't get it. Like, Roberto and Roberto Jr., it's father and son fighting over these women. You know what I mean?
Unless, yeah. I guess his mom,
you should hire someone to just commentate. Just commentate what they're doing. That's a good idea.
I wonder if Rogan,
Sarah's walking in there.
Rogan, just do a clip for us.
Just hire someone to sit there all day watching and just telling people what's happening.
You have to get a bunch of different angles and then really dramatize it with music and have like testimonials with the chickens in front of the camera.
Yes.
Like, all right.
Let's read more. That's who we got. All right. David C. says, I know it was a couple weeks ago, but Steven Crowder did a video about Wikipedia and how to become an editor and their bias test. You should check it out. Interesting. Jeff Rocha says, all government is just theater on a world stage. All governments are in this thing together, and all of us normal people are just their victims. You know, I started thinking about how conspiratorial you can get, and it's like, is Russia doing this invasion on purpose to destroy gas prices so they can get us off of fuel and be like, Joe Biden's going to come out and be like, gas prices are at $10. We need a Green New Deal right now. And then everyone's going to be like, please, please, anything to alleviate the suffering.
Hmm.
All because of that dang Putin who was on the World Economic Forum website up until a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or is that stupid? And Vladimir Putin's just a proud guy who was like, don't know, don't care. And they're like, no, Putin, what are you doing?
They've got to know that nation building doesn't work at this point. So like to put all these weapons on NATO, on the borders of Russia, I think that they know it creates instability. So who's making this call at this point? It can't be government. It's got to be some sort of corporate authority, extrajudicial authority.
Coldilocks says, what you don't understand, Tim, is that this is normal in war. It's called soldiers of fortune, or better known as mercenary work. This sort of thing has been around since even before the Greek Empire. I believe they're referring to the foreign soldiers who are fighting on both sides of the conflict. The Syrians are mercenaries, right? We with the Hessians, with the British Empire, right? Yeah. They send them out here. But when you have NATO countries sending civilians to volunteer to fight for Ukraine, these aren't mercenaries. They are people who are choosing to come and fight for a global institution or something. That's the crazy thought. That people aren't simply being like, I'm not part of Ukraine, leave me out of it. No, you have like Latvia, you have Poland, you have the US, UK citizens being like, we'll all team up and have this NATO alliance of civilians volunteering. And I'm just kind of like, if you're giving fighter jets money and weapons and your citizens are fighting, I kind of feel like, how is that not war? You know, like imagine if, you know, you're a country and then the neighboring country is like, I didn't declare war on you. My people just are invading your country. Granted, they're not invading Ukraine. They're being welcomed in. So it is different. It's like joining the resistance, I guess. Kind of crazy. Glenn says, Tim, if a U.S. citizen goes to fight for Ukraine, they should be stripped of their U.S. citizenship so they can be used as a so they can't be used as a POW or hostage. It's interesting. Russia has put out a statement saying any foreign fighter in Ukraine will not be treated as a POW. They'll be treated as criminals because they are not enemy combatants by international law. They're just random people shooting at their soldiers. I'm paraphrasing basically what they were saying, which is crazy. Coldilocks says mercenaries were even used in World War II and on. This is common for wars. It's just the first time our generation has seen it through since a real war hasn't happened for 30 plus years, though Latvia sanctioning it is unusual. Right. And that's what I'm referring to. I understand that Russia recruiting Syrian soldiers to fight for them is like mercenary fighters, sort of. It is a little different. It's like, it's, you know, but the 16,000 foreign fighters going to Ukraine is weird. All right. Oh, hell no, says it may not be the apocalypse, but all signs point to a hell of a lot darker future than the deniers want to accept. Don't ever water down the truth. Yeah, man, that's crazy, man.
I mean, they even said, World Economic Forum, prepare for a angrier world. Isn't that what he said? Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't see that.
You guys ever watched the movie Kingsman?
Yes. Great movie.
No, I didn't.
The bad guy is played by Sam Jackson, and he's a tech billionaire who wants to purge the world because of climate change.
Bruh.
Right, yeah.
That's the correct response. Yeah. Yep. But he's the bad guy. I don't know.
I got this article that says that transgender women are stuck in Ukraine because they're not letting men leave the country, and it says male on their identification.
Well, they are male.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not to make a comment on any of the trans issues. If the government of Ukraine is saying biologically male or female.
Man, it is an example of people kind of dancing around the United States about their gender, but when it comes down to it and there's war, men fight. And women, you know, women can also fight, but men fight. Like, men are held to fight. Doesn't matter what gender you feel like you are, if you've got the biology.
I'll tell you this. I mean, my view is, we talked about, like, women in the Air Force when that whole thing happened with Tucker. I was like, if you have 100 soldiers, if you have 100 men and 100 women, and we're no longer, well, actually, I'm gonna add something to this thought. But if we're at a point where we have absolute luxury and feminism, you have 100 men and 100 women and only your men are fighting, and I have 100 men and 100 women, and I got 100 men and 50 women fighting, I got more soldiers than you. And women can pull triggers too. So maybe they won't be as effective in certain ways compared to like what the men are able to like endure. Like I'm talking about like lifting things or climbing things. But I got some female snipers that seem to get the job done.
Oh, and they can carry ammo. That's for sure.
They can provide for the war effort. They can do stuff.
They can drive
trucks.
That
being said, considering the birth rate is in rapid decline for many of these countries, they probably would like to, like, you know, not have their women die in war.
Yeah, you can send your kids too, but you don't want to do that either.
Well, this is actually something that was said to me by a female friend of mine who is in the Army in a non-combat role. She doesn't believe women should be in combat roles because you have to be able to carry your fellow soldier if they are wounded, and it's much more difficult for women to carry men.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
But I think they're, you know, the way I see it is if you've got 100 men and 50 are support roles and 50 are combat, and I got 100 men all combat and 50 women in support roles, I'm better off. I got more fighters than you. You know, like whatever your view of it is. But then again, with declining birth rates, maybe you might want to not have women die.
Yeah, because, a Pyrrhic victory.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll women take are the ones who have babies. But, yeah. We have one rooster who made all of these babies.
Yep.
So technically 12 we ordered because we're trying to get some genetic diversity, but we had one rooster and he sired himself 44 eggs right now.
That's very Zeus-like of him. Can we rename him Zeus?
That's a good name, yeah.
A lot of kids. So he's already got, I think, 8 children.
Genghis Khan.
He's already got 8 kids.
Yeah.
And he's got 44 kids incubating. One guy.
Beast.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. If we had 10 roosters, we'd have no babies. You know?
Oh, yeah. Too much competition.
All right. Sean says, thanks for having on Gothics. Highly recommend your viewers follow her. She's a hardworking woman that dishes out some of the best content I've seen in the last 2 years. She's informative, humble, and at times extremely funny.
At times.
At times. Well, I do.
You know what? That. Screw you, Sean. No.
Here he pays $20 to compliment you, and that's your response.
Well, the comment wasn't good enough. Not enough of a compliment.
Oh, here's another one. Elizabeth Carmela says, Gothic, she's wicked smart. I've learned so much from watching her. Such a beautiful person inside and out. Love her style, too. Always looking fresh.
That person has to be from Rhode Island if they're saying wicked.
Wicked?
Wicked yeah. Smart.
Wicked
yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Filthy Hippie says, is it a conspiracy to not tell people you pooped your pants when you were 5 years old? I don't understand.
It depends on how much of an effort there is to cover it up.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Was it illegal what you did?
I don't know, yeah.
Let's grab some more super chats. Kenny Cab says, Trump should have released all the JFK tapes and freed Assange. That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Mm. The ultimate Naruto fanboy says, yo, there's something on your mic, Tim. It was a stink bug.
It was,
and
yeah.
He has been removed, unfortunately for him. Mm-hmm. At least stink bugs are doofy. They're kind of funny. And the chickens love eating them.
They do.
I heard that in China they eat them because they taste like apples. Yeah. Yeah, they smell really bad,
too
though.
Too scared to
yeah.
try.
Yeah, it's like stink bugs. I see them around. Used to have them at my house when I was younger. They're so stupid. They're not threatening. You know, like,
right.
like there's other pests like roaches or spiders. They're kind of like creepy and almost a little sinister looking. And the stink bugs are just stupid. Like, I can't be upset with them. They're just these bumbling little idiots.
Yep. Yeah. You'll like watch them walk around and you'll like put your finger near it and it just jumps and kamikazes to the ground and just falls on its
like
back.
It's like dead.
Okay. Yeah. No, they just jump off the walls and fall. They're really,
I really can't
they're
be
really
mad at
slow
them.
And they're really dumb.
Yeah.
But when they release that stink oil, whatever.
Yeah, you gotta be gentle with them. They freak out and then they release the stink
bugs. Yeah, well, when you're out here in the summer and there's like 3,000 of them,
so many.
Last year was crazy bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, I can't like 50 on my window.
Because they're spreading all over. And now there's that other bug. I forgot what it's called. It's that it's another Chinese bug, and it like destroys trees.
Awesome.
Yo.
You know, they have the weird spotted feather, not spotted wings or whatever. I can't remember.
Yeah, do you think that's his fifth dimensional war, fifth generational war, the stink bug invasion?
It might be.
Sending invasive species that destroy our crops.
They only arrived like 20 years ago. They weren't around, and it was in Pennsylvania where they landed the stink bug infestation.
Now they're everywhere.
Do you guys remember at the beginning of the pandemic, people were getting seeds in the mail from China?
Yes.
Yeah. No?
Yeah. And people were planting them,
they were
according
people
to reports.
Them, yeah.
Yeah.
Invasive species.
People were randomly getting packages in the mail they didn't order, and had seeds, and they'd be like, oh, I'm going to plant them, and they would.
What the heck?
Idiots. Why?
Right, yeah.
Fifth.
Wait, so what were
DGS?
They?
I don't know. Yeah. We never heard anything.
Genetically modified plants that
we emit
5G waves to
choke out.
Well, like kudzu in the deep south is really bad for them. Like really bad. I don't know where that came from. Oh, not China.
Ryan B says there's a bug on Tim's mic.
Uh-huh.
Dark Matter says that stink bug on Tim's mic is distracting. Did you guys watch when I flicked him off or was the camera not on?
No, I don't think I saw it.
Send him on his merry way.
Uh-huh.
Tadpole says overpopulation of deer is partly caused by taking best and strongest from herd. They make up with quantity the loss of quality. Maybe we've lost quality. Interesting. Scary thought.
Yeah.
King Tesseract says, Republicans winning 2022 is the best thing that could happen to the Democrats. If conservatives want to make a stand, they shouldn't vote for Republicans, not senators, reps, prez. Only vote for a Republican governor willing to call for a convention of states. I see what you're saying. Are you saying that basically the more Democrats are in control, the worse it is for them? They absorb all the blame.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably arguing we're just going to have a collapse either way, and if Republicans are in charge, it's going to look like it was their fault.
Yeah.
Kyle Miller says, I like how in 2 months we went from possible civil war to World War III. Crazy times. Also, here's my super chat worth 2 gallons of gas. It's $10. We didn't go from possible civil war to World War III. We went from possible civil war with World War III.
Yeah, it's like a side dish.
Yeah.
So great.
The main course.
World War II's getting a sequel. Civil War's getting a sequel. Yes! It's all happening at once.
And we just keep rebooting everything.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? The writers of this season.
Some World War II Part 2. Is that what this is?
World War II Part 2.
Global boo-boo.
World War II. Two! Yeah. Eddie says, get Tim instead of city urban liberal types. I prefer crazy urban neurotic tools.
No.
City urban liberal type as a statement is not offensive in any way, but when you put it together and you show the first letter of every word, it becomes offensive. That's kind of, you know, that's the thing.
Not as offensive as theirs.
Madison Lynn says, Ian, we only follow Incan laws in my house. You're weird, and that was slander. I love you anyways.
I love you, sir.
Incan laws.
Who was that? Yeah.
Conspiracy theories. People keep telling me I got a stink bug. I made a lot of deal. You know what we should do? We should put stink bugs on here on purpose because we got a lot of super chats because of that.
We know.
Cyrus Nershall says, war is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. The East, Russia, and China, and West, EU, NATO, are fundamentally incompatible. The only question is how much damage is done to the world. Hmm. A lot. Helmsway says, gas prices in Russia, $2 a gallon for premium. Fact check me. Is that true? Someone look that up.
I'm going to look that up right now.
$2 a gallon for gas in Russia?
That'd be nice.
Well, we'll see how things play out.
I wonder how much it usually costs, though.
Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, quote, don't make me stick up for Trump, end quote. LOL. That's how it went. There was a really funny comedy sketch by a guy who was titled Stop Making Me Defend Trump. And it was like he overhears someone saying something about Trump. And he's like, that's not true. That didn't happen. And they're like, why are you defending Trump?
Yeah.
Do you support him? No. That just what you're saying isn't true. And they're like, you must be a Trump supporter. And he's like, ugh.
Yeah, gas prices are really low in Russia right now.
Really?
That's interesting, yeah.
Well, it's because they produce a lot of gas.
Yeah, sure it is.
Travis says, Ian rolls a solid 100 tonight. Oh. Keep on, brother man.
All right, I'm going to roll. I'll let you know what I get.
Ashton Hamlet says, y'all should check out Inside Job on Netflix. Stupid, funny kind of show about conspiracies in the deep state. Thanks for being real and honest. I have seen it. It was funny-ish. What'd you get?
17.
Oof. Where's the other one?
Rip.
Give me your best.
All right. I got the 100-sided die. Let's do it. Wait.
Is it good stop? Things
go.
Coming.
Just wanders all over the
it
table.
It is a 27.
Ooh.
Almost a 17, though.
Yeah. Almost.
It was almost a 17. 17 was one the other direction.
In lockstep.
Yeah.
You guys want to roll?
Let me roll.
All right. Your shots.
There he goes. 100. They're basically just like.
This is a weapon.
They're balls. Really yeah. They're like balls.
You put them so on your eyes, cool. Too. So heavy.
That was huge.
What was that?
They rolled off the table.
Yeah, I roll off the table.
Okay, here we go. It's on you.
Wait, what do you guys think is coming?
I don't know. It's still going.
Yeah, everyone guessed.
Mine's chasing yours.
It's yeah. Ooh, oh my gosh.
Coming back.
Battle.
Back.
Oh,
these things are so weird.
They roll wherever they want. 80?
Let's see. And we have
83?
83.
Nice.
It looks like an 81.
83 ooh. Plus 17, 100.
Nice. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Something
you guys
to it.
Rolled great. Good work.
Thank together you. We thank rolled 100. That was good.
Here's a good one. Wounded Man says, buying a freeze dryer a few years ago to save our leftovers and extra chicken eggs seems like a good idea now to some of our city friends who laughed at us for getting it, calling us crazy preppers. But hey, I hope the bugs will be tasty. I mean, a lot of people are chatting up random numbers.
Can we get refrigeration units that are like on the wall so they don't take up floor space?
Oh, interesting.
What?
We should get a lot
they
of refrigeration.
They still occupy lateral space.
That's okay.
Even if they're not on the floor.
Not ground space. Like put them up high. Maybe you can pull it open like that or something. I don't know.
Something. I probably exists.
We have a gigantic freezer full of meat
and we can't stack them. That's the problem.
And pizzas.
And
we got Giordano's.
Very important.
Yeah, I like ordering hot dogs and pizza from Chicago.
Okay.
It's very expensive.
I'm gonna eat one of those later.
But it's delicious.
Import hot dogs?
So, you know, we have parties where we get hot dogs and pizza flown in from Chicago.
Okay.
Okay,
yes,
Barack.
That's right. I know. There, we got it. Yeah.
But we actually do. It's Portillo's and Giordano's and Lou Malnati's. Because Chicago hot dogs and pizza are very famous. Mm-hmm. The Portillo's hot dogs, man. And then
so good,
you come with the peppers and tomatoes and the celery salt and everybody
Giordano's
makes them.
So good.
They're good.
We're going to be grilling Jimmy John's on Saturday for my birthday.
Grilling Jimmy John's?
Grilling, yeah. So we were trying to, like I was asked what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, I would like to order a bunch of Jimmy John's, turn on the grill, and then
open them apart?
No, just open them and grill them for like 30 seconds so they get like crisp.
Oh, like paninis?
Yeah. Well, not kind of. You're not pressing them. You're just open facing them so like it melts, and then, so we're gonna do
that. That's great.
And for the whole week, nothing but Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah, nice. I saw
what is a Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's?
Yeah, what's that?
Sandwiches.
Sandwich?
Yeah.
Just say a sandwich.
But Jimmy John's a special company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An American what am I going to get?
Subway?
No. Yeah.
No way.
No, Subway.
What? Jimmy John's, man.
Quiznos good too.
The business was founded by Jimmy John.
Hey.
Leo Taud.
I heard stories that he used to walk in to like the franchise and he has like a credit card that says Jimmy John on it and he can swipe it at any restaurant. Like he'll walk into a Jimmy John's. I don't know if this is true. Someone I know who works there told me it was true. That he walks in, he's like, "I'm Jimmy," and then he just like hands him the card, and they swipe it, and it gives him free food.
The history is after high school, his dad gave him the ultimatum: join the military or start a business. So he started Jimmy John's.
Good for him.
Smart guy.
I don't know why that got me, man. Just the idea of him walking, "I'm Jimmy."
Yeah,
like someone walking anywhere before they make a transaction and going, "I'm Jimmy."
I guess he was proud. He's like, "It's right. me. I yes, own this sir. Franchise. Like I own the name." You
what
know?
About Papa John's? John. You go in there. Yeah. I'm Papa.
Big car. They call me
we had Papa John here. He's and nice. we ordered pizzas and he explained to us like everything wrong with the pizza.
No way.
Well, because he was like, the way the pizza's got to be made is specific. And so he's like, see right here how the crust is not rising. That means they had a problem with this. And over here, the sauce didn't go all the way. And he was like explaining.
Scientist.
Because he takes his pizza very seriously. And he autographed a pizza box for us.
We have kind of an open invite to go down to his house and do a pizza cooking contest.
That'd be fun.
I really want to learn.
If we ever have time.
Yeah.
All right. Samuel Bonin says, I started making the NPC game you mentioned on Friday. Still a prototype, but adding features. What is the best way to talk, share with you? Tweet it at Ian.
There you go.
You heard the man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your
Ian Crossland on Twitter.
Send him a tweet. What was the NPC game we were talking about?
Like Lemmings with NPC faces.
Yeah. That's such
amazing.
A good idea.
Yeah.
You have to, it has to be political though. So it has to be like, you make them campaign and do stuff to like get to the level.
You have to like, yeah, shake a protest sign.
if you give them
throw
too many.
A Molotov.
instead of, yeah, like, so instead of where like one lemming, you can do the stop lemming where he like puts his hands up. You make it so that there's like an Antifa lemming holding a sign and like protesting and they turn the other way.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
You could make them, if they get overworked, they can have you angry. I don't know if you, can you only do a limited number of jobs on a lemming or can you just do infinitely change
the
jobs?
They can do one job at a time.
Yeah. But then and some of the jobs are permanent. So if you make them a stopper lemming, they can never move again.
Right. A
so
digger, I think, digs forever? No.
Yeah.
He digs until
digging.
He stops.
Right.
Like, so he'll dig until he hits a chamber and then he stops digging.
So if you need to destroy something in front of the lemming, they have like the pickaxe one and this one, it would be an Antifa with like a baseball bat and he's vandalizing. Bashing his way through.
Oh, dude, you could
so
literally,
well,
it's a little dark. You could you could suicide the lemmings. Like there was
that's
an
in the game,
to
actually,
explode
yeah.
them. No, I know. You if the,
and
some
it,
of them
blow
you know,
stuff up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's yeah. a lot of options in there.
And then you could have
lemmings,
grappling
you know,
hook
creepy.
NPCs. They make ropes and they climb up. This
really
game sounds like a lot of fun.
Game, yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right. Roberto Lara says, what a great sales pitch. Buy electric cars so when you think against the narrative,
yeah.
kill switch activated.
Right? Seriously, dude.
Yeah, Elon's not going to be saying that anytime soon, you know.
Thankfully.
Favre, how do you pronounce it? Honda had a hydrogen version of the Accord in the early 2000s that was for sale in California. There were only 2 to 3 stations across the whole state and never got traction, featured on British Top Gear. Yeah, it was a hydrogen cell, though. It wasn't water. It was hydrogen cell cars.
Mm.
And it was a big deal, I remember, but like never took off. Storm Viking says, Seamus looks like the Ben Affleck meme where he's smoking a cig and just has that look of why me. I love how you guys are doing a great job.
I hope I don't have
Ian
that.
Drug master.
I'm very blessed. I have a very
that's
good,
a good
life.
Meme,
I really,
though.
It is a good meme,
yeah,
though.
I like that meme.
Last night, Seamus got back. He was came in late, like 2 a.m., and I was like, who are the elites? I was just like, really?
Oh,
it was
my
and
gosh.
And he was like, the elites are the people that will never get in trouble for anything they do.
There you go.
And it was just mind warping. Thank you, Seamus.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, it was funny. I was driving out from an area where I've been staying because I wanted to be back at the house in the morning, and I actually came very close to hitting a deer and fortunately didn't. And I told Ian about it, and he was like, it's crazy.
Yo.
We had this whole conversation about
yeah.
the elites. And
yo.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Objective says, in Japan this weekend, the Sesho Seki, a large stone that in mythology seals the Tamamo no Me, the evil demon nine-tailed fox, split in half, thus releasing the demon. Bad omen.
That does seem like
what?
A bad omen.
What?
I'm going to look that up.
The Kyubi.
How do you
the
spell
nine-tailed
that?
Fox.
Sesho Seki. How do you spell that?
SESSHOU-SEKI. It sealed the nine-tailed fox. You know, I know this is fake news because everybody knows the nine-tailed fox was sealed inside of Naruto. Oh, well, sorry. Half of it was. The other half was sealed in the stomach of death. But, you know, I don't want to be nitpicking.
Right.
Wow.
Tekan says, no man is more evil than the one with a righteous cause. Oof. Is it true?
The Sesho Seki, is it split open?
Yeah.
I was just reading about it.
It's the apocalypse. At Snopes.
Yeah. Why would it be on Snopes?
Because they're fact checking it.
They are fact checking it?
Yeah, they are. They actually from 7 hours ago. Yeah.
What?
I'm going to look at it.
I bet
it's
fake news.
It's true.
It is true.
It's true. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Split in half.
Revelation is out. Whatever they're saying about the beast and all that stuff. No, this is the true sign.
This is it. Yep.
Yeah. The killing stone is split.
Yeah. Are you looking at Snopes?
How did it split?
I don't know.
Just abruptly just ruptured?
Wait. In March 2022, a photograph was circulated on social media of a famous rock in Japan called Sesho Seki, or Killing Stone, that supposedly housed an evil spirit. This picture was often attached to a caption claiming it was recently found split in half, that the spirit, or the nine-tailed fox, had been released. Oh my gosh. It's true.
It is true.
As for the facts, while we have nothing concerning about the existence of the evil spirit, which is, after all, a mythical entity, we can say the Killing Stone truly split in half in March 2022.
What?
The world is over. That's it. We're done.
Whoa.
We're done.
I don't know. Maybe the evil spirits are here to help.
I have read every single...
Looking for a bright side here.
No, I don't see it.
I have read every single chapter of Naruto from the beginning to the end. So I can tell you that nine-tailed fox.
It's bad news.
I know a lot about whatever that means.
Whatever that
so
is.
So this is the spirit of the nine-tailed fox is released?
I have no idea.
said,
I did read Naruto, though. Wow, I started watching Attack on Titan recently because apparently Jordan Peterson said you had to. And I'm just kind of like, it's cool, you know.
Do I have to?
It's like a weird show.
I wonder how many of the episodes he's seen because I kind of got bored with it after a while.
Yeah, you know.
Once the spectacle wore off of like the big heads and stuff.
The big heads.
Yeah, the giants, which are crazy.
One of my favorite memes was Attack on Hill. And it was the King of the Hill characters as the Titans. And Hank Hill had spatulas and the omnidirectional mobility.
That was really good.
That was really good. Yeah. I sell propane and propane accessories. I'll tell you what.
So good.
What?
Whoa.
What?
All right. Let's grab some. Let's grab a couple more. Noel P-Bone says, Roberto Jr. Con. I'm not sure if that's what Roberto Jr. is yelling.
No.
Let's see. Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, no Jersey Mike's down there. You're missing out. We have Jersey Mike's.
They're good, too.
They're pretty good.
They're good. Firehouse subs are really good, too.
So, yeah, Quiznos are really good, too.
Yeah, all those sandwich places are good, but there's something about Jimmy John's. It's very it's very basic. It's like, what do you get?
Simple.
You get lettuce, tomato, cheese, roast beef.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's kind of all I need. Firehouse is good, though.
Yeah.
I like Firehouse. Okay, let's grab a couple more. What do we got here? Chris Wolney says, shout out from a Loudoun County neighbor. Stink bugs are not as dumb and clumsy as cicadas. If they end up on their backs, they're done. Cicadas?
Really?
Cicadas are pretty dumb, too.
Yeah.
When the cicadas came out, it was awesome because the chickens, it was like, I feel bad for any chicken that was not around for the great cicada release, you know? Because chickens don't live that long. That means the chickens that are born today are probably never going to experience the awesomeness of cicadas.
Yeah.
Because we'd walk to the tree line with gloves in a jar, and in 20 minutes we'd have 50 cicadas, and we would throw them in the chicken coop, and they would just annihilate them. And I also was kind of thinking, like, imagine what it's like to be a cicada, and like, you come out of the ground, and you're like, after 17 years, I'm alive! And then a chicken just rips your head off.
Zip.
Or you get picked up and thrown into the gauntlet with a bunch of, like, massive chickens, like, bark, and you're like, and they just peck you.
I think I might have found a picture of the Killing Stone split in half on Twitter from Lily0727K, L-I-L-Y.
That's reliable. We'll have to, I trust her.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's not confirm or deny, but there's
77,000
retweets.
Hmm.
All right, let's just grab a couple more. Goyu Tasama says, for that Naruto reference, I got money. See, here's the thing. Whenever I shout out an anime, people like Super Chat. So I tweeted something. What did I tweet? I can't remember what I tweeted. I tweeted, what was it about? It was something about Attack on Titan. I can't remember what it was. But everyone was like, all of a sudden, now I really like your show. And I'm like, aha.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned anime and people get happy. Okay, I can't read your name because it's a bunch of symbols. Vanguard and BlackRock run index funds that buy companies in proportion to their market size, including companies of companies. It's normal.
Yeah, so that's Berkshire Hathaway they're talking about?
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's just do one more. Alex
Normal
says,
I like how they put that
thorium nuclear, much safer than legacy uranium fission, designs used for depleted uranium weapons. May be my flat earth type theory, but strange to me why innovation seems stifled in nuclear energy.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's a lot. There's a lot of weird stuff. A lot of technology seems to be not happening.
Yeah.
But let's do this. We will go and record our members only segment. So if you haven't already, peck that like button and check out Chicken City on YouTube live right now. Literally, it is. It's live nonstop, 24/7. And there's no lights because chickens need to sleep. And we do have the night vision cameras already, but they're not set up because we have to just slowly build up to that point. So subscribe to Chicken City if you want to just literally watch a live stream of chickens. But I was thinking it would be funny if we used the Chicken City feed as our like timcast.com members chat room. So like when you go to timcast.com as a member, it's just there will be an additional like next to everything you watch, a chat room, and it's just the same Chicken City chat. So like some that. People will randomly be like, the Roosters are yelling again. And they'll be like, I was talking about what Alex Jones was saying. But, you know, and then someone might be like, there's very little difference. You know, they're both ranting. But yeah, go to timcast.com, be a member. We're going to have that member segment up at 11 p.m. You can follow the show at Timcast IRL, basically everywhere. You can follow me at Timcast. Gothix, do you want to shout anything out?
Thank you guys for having me on, by the way. And you can follow me at Gothix TV pretty much everywhere. And that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm Seamus Coughlin. I have a YouTube channel called Freedom Tunes. We're going to be uploading a new cartoon tomorrow and then another one on Thursday. So please go check that out. Thank you very much for watching.
Yeah, Ian Crossland, iancrossland.net if you want to follow me on social media. Really great to see you. And that Seamus's last Freedom Tunes video was insanely awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Stoked.
Yeah, so if you guys want to watch Chicken City, just enter Chicken City in YouTube, and there's a little button at the top that says live. You click that, and you will be taken to our Chicken City. I cannot wait to have the infrared cameras up or the night vision cameras up. I think those are going up next. Stoked. Really glad we finally got it up. You guys can follow me on Twitter and minds.com at Sarah Patchlitz.
We will see you all at timcast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.